much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's happening, baby? Did you miss me over the weekend? If you did, I'm sorry. But now that I'm here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You gotta add some more of that crazy stuff to your act. Can you unicycle?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Can you rope an axe?
No. I've never done that.
Yeah, people love a good roped ass.
Mm.
A well roped ass. Yeah, my ex-wife sure did.
Mm. Wait, what did you mean by roped ass in that instance?
Donkey.
Oh, yeah. And now.
First of all, very few people listen to your radio show. That's the good news. Let me just tell you. Which happens to be true. Check out the ratings.
Our feature presentation.
He's got a point. I mean, you don't want to agree with him, but.
About the ass?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, March 6th. What's up?
All right, Chip, let's hear it.
And it's also March 7th.
Yeah. What's brown and rhymes with Snoop?
What's brown and rhymes with Snoop? Poop.
Dr. Dre.
Pretty
Chip,
strong.
Everybody.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good joke, Chip.
For the 6th or the 7th. Sure is.
Where'd you hear that?
I was at Muse Inc. on Friday and ran into Noodles and his, yeah.
That's funny.
We were hanging out watching Snoop Dogg and he texted me the joke.
Nice.
That's pretty strong.
Nice.
That's a good way to start. Kevin, what is the problem you have with the date, do you think?
I had it right on my paperwork and then they gave me a new paperwork today that says the 6th
on it.
It
sure does.
So I assumed mine was wrong.
Oh, I see.
In this particular instance, it was sort of not my fault. But every other time, it's my fault.
Is that the beer mug factor there on the paperwork you just got, do you think?
It's the beer mug factor everywhere, Bean. Yeah.
Okay. Not my fault.
Not Dave's fault. I know that.
All right.
He's not here yet.
Allie had a traumatic experience over the weekend. I don't know if you heard, Kevin.
No, I didn't. What happened?
She had one of the worst things that could have ever happened to her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You would have rather broken your leg than had this happen to you.
Oh, for sure.
What happened?
I got home from work on Friday, and my internet was out. And I couldn't get an appointment till 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Dude.
House of Cards! What? You guys. It was. I almost went to a hotel.
No!
Almost went to a hotel.
No internet.
Bad. I know. The worst.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It really was, Bean. Thank you.
Now, did you have... I was going to say, did you at least have a bunch of stuff on your DVR you could distract yourself with? But that doesn't take the place of what you need online.
No. Well, it was hard. It was real hard. I used my personal hotspot.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
So that kept me busy. No, I used that, but I don't want to see my data charges when I get that bill. It's not going to be pretty at
all.
Well,
look, you don't want to pay, you don't want to pay $4 for a bottle of water either, but when there's a drought, when you're in the desert, you got to.
It's a great point.
I'm just saying, you got to pay whatever you need to stay alive.
It was hard, is all I'm saying. I mean, I made it through, and I think I owe my faith.
Right,
and,
good. Well, you came through the other side. Congratulations. Whew, that was close.
It was.
You know what's funny is Allie's joking and Bean isn't. That's what's
funny. I know.
I wonder if they would have been, if the cable guy hadn't showed up to fix your internet and you had died. And I wonder if you had died.
What?
You just died just from sadness. I wonder if the autopsy would have ever been able to tell us that she died from lack of internet. I wonder if we ever would have even known or if it would have just always been a mystery. Because you can't see a broken heart.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But that, I mean, you probably were close to the end by the time that dude showed up.
I really was. Big ups to Tori. Time Warner Cable.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're okay. Hey, listen, I usually come in every day and I start with a story to tell you something in the news that I found interesting. And I always say, I'll keep my eyes peeled, and if there's any update, I'll get back to you.
Right.
So today I'm going to give you an update on three recent 5:30 a.m. stories.
Wow.
Because they have progressed. There has been news. Allow me to do a quick primer on the story for folks who didn't hear it the first time around, and then I'll tell those who did what happened after that.
So British.
We talked about Marie Hatch, the 97-year-old woman in the Bay Area in Burlingame who had been evicted from her home after 66 years she had lived there. She had an oral agreement to be able to live there until the end of her life.
What? It's just a spoken agreement.
Oh. Yeah. And that landlord who told her, you can live there for the rest of your life, by the way, having no idea she would live to be almost 100, said you can live there forever. And then that lady died. And then her daughter took over and agreed to the same conditions. And then she died. And then the person after that said, no, I don't agree to that oral agreement. We don't have a contract. I'm kicking you out. You need to leave. She had an 85-year-old roommate, too, by the way. They had been living together for 36 years. That's Georgia Rothcock. Well, our friend Marie Hatch last week filed a lawsuit to uphold the verbal contract that she had made with her now deceased friend to remain in the home for life. And we're never going to know what the result of that lawsuit will be because she did die on Thursday. So she made it to 97. Her attorney, by the way, said there is no doubt that the callous eviction of Marie Hatch has caused her death.
Whoa.
She's also 97.
Yeah, that might have played a little part.
But it is possible that she was distressed. I mean, you can see how that would have a negative impact on your health at 97. She had no other friends or family that she could go live with.
Sure.
She wasn't going to end up out on the street, though, because there was a GoFundMe page that people had started raising money, and she had received over $60,000.
Wow.
So she was going to be okay, but she'll never get to spend any of that money because she's dead. All right, so that's thing one. Thing two is, I told you about the high school teacher in South Carolina last week who had been fired from her job because the administration says she should have been more careful not leaving her phone on her desk when she was away out in the hall doing hall monitoring because a student in the classroom picked up her phone, found a naked photo on her phone that she had taken for her husband for Valentine's Day, and took a picture of it. Took a picture of a picture and transmitted it all over the school. So the teacher got fired. A lot of people, there was a big petition to try to get her job back because they said it wasn't her fault. She was a good job. The administration said, no, she's responsible for keeping pornographic material out of the hands of her students. Well, one of the parts that outraged us all last week is that nothing had happened to the student. Remember, we didn't think that was fair. The student who caused all this, put this ball into motion, seemed to be fine. Well, on Friday, that student was arrested. The 16-year-old was charged with computer crimes and aggravated voyeurism. So we'll see if anything comes of that. We'll see if the teacher gets her job back. We'll see what happens next. But I did want you to know that the student finally did have to face the charges there, which I think is legitimate.
Absolutely.
And finally, in our update corner here, remember...
Wait, this is the update corner now?
Yes. Remember our little friend Ruslan Shedrin? He was the teenager from Moscow who entered an online competition to live for a month in a hotel with a Russian porn star.
Yeah. Right.
We loved him because he was so excited when he won. His mom and his sister were against him, you know, being 16 and living in a hotel with a hot porn star. But he said she had good parts and he was boiling inside. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had entered a contest. He was the 100th person to visit Cases for Real, which is a website that sells virtual weapons for video games, and that was the prize. It has been revealed that that was just an advertising campaign, and it was a hoax. It did not happen. A Russian viral marketing expert announced over Twitter that the competition was not real and that the boy was an actor who participated in the story.
But is he still boiling?
He might still be boiling on the inside.
That's trouble.
So,
yeah.
So this kid, who just a couple of weeks ago was our hero, is now just a fraud. Just a fraud.
But well done, Russians.
Hey, look.
Good work, Russia.
They got a ton of publicity for this website, and I bet they got 100,000 people to go visit that website as a result of hearing they were giving away a prize like that. So it turns out that is not true.
All right.
So there you go. There's your update.
That's the update corner.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
With Bean. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Whatever that is.
Well,
it's today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Never heard of that.
Mm. Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays.
Mm.
We have a UFC 196 update. That didn't go quite as planned.
Or did it?
Good question.
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Rodney, do you watch the UFC? Okay. I don't know what that means. Comedian Doug Benson joins us in studio today. Is that...
Did he laugh at me?
I think so. and the band Pennywise will be in studio as well.
And they're from Canada.
I don't think so.
Hermosa Beach more than Canada.
Aloha.
Well, that's a while.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the show Biz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:55.
Can't be the best that we can do, right? He can't be the best that we the best
King of Mexico?
That we have. Yeah,
he's the best producer that we've ever had.
That's so
really?
Sad.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Saddest thing you've ever said.
Bean, is that correct?
I would say yes.
Yes.
Wow. Look, there are some rough edges working with Dave. I agree with that. But isn't that true of all of us?
Rough
yes.
edge is like a chainsaw, you mean, right?
Right, but he gets the job done.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes, but until you drop it and you lose a leg. Whatever that means.
Well, it's Monday morning. That's the bad news. The good news is that's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman, who is here with our first look at the show Biz Beat. What is going on?
It is a Monday. That means we take a look at the weekend box office every Monday morning. No surprise here that it's number one, but perhaps a surprise. But... how much money it made. Zootopia, in its debut as the number one film in America, made $73.7 million.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's a significant amount of money.
And this is a Disney movie, right?
It is. And, in fact, it's the largest opening ever for a Disney animated film.
Wow. Interesting.
Now, I think a large part of this has to do with the fact that it has a... had an enormous adult audience. I know a ton of people were eager to see it, even those who don't have kids or weren't planning on taking their kids. In fact, I've heard it's kind of intense for kids. Hmm. So a lot of grown-ups going to see Zootopia this weekend, and that made it number one by a long shot. The next movie at number two was London Has Fallen. It debuted with $21.7 million, so about a $50 million difference between those films. Deadpool was third. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot was fourth with $7.6 million in its debut. Gods of Egypt was fifth. Then Risen, Kung Fu Panda 3, The Revenant, Eddie the Eagle, and The Witch. A little side note, Spotlight got a little bit of an Oscar bump for having won the Best Picture this year. It picked up $1.9 million over the weekend. It's been out for a while, so that was a pretty good number for that. I'll tell you, I finally got around to seeing it after it won the Oscar.
It's a great movie.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm. And deeply disturbing.
Yeah.
And resonant. But the performance is just top to bottom. Great cast and great film.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes.
Didn't Triple Nine come out this weekend?
Right?
I don't know. Had a lot of stars
I think that
in
was
it.
Last weekend.
I don't know.
I think.
I have no Triple Nine update.
Mm. All right. Just seemed like that movie just came and went so fast, considering how many great people were in it.
Right?
Womp, womp, womp. What'd that guy say?
Hey, this is good news for our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. He announced this morning that he will once again be the host of the 2016 Emmy Awards.
Yay!
Well done, ABC.
He does a great job.
He does a great job. He hosted the show previously in 2012 and was terrific. Jimmy said in the announcement, "I'm excited to be hosting the Emmys again. I have a feeling I'm going to be great." so he joins us in the excitement for that Jimmy Kimmel guy. So that's good news. Sad news over the weekend. We lost a couple showbiz celebs. Pat Conroy, author of bestsellers like The Great Santini and The Prince of Tides, passed away. He was 70 years old, passed away from cancer. His books were responsible for some great films. Prince of Tides, of course, movie starring Barbra Streisand and Nick Nolte. Great Santini. Oh, Robert Duvall and The Great Santini. What a performance. Other films based on his work. Conrack, Lords of Discipline. He was one of Hollywood's favorite authors to film, so that's sad news. And a man named Tony Dyson has passed away. You don't know him, but you know his work. He created a little character named R2-D2. He was the guy who built R2-D2. He based him on some sketches done by Macquarie and Lucas's ideas, but it was his hard work that created the character. And he passed away at the age of 68. Is that R2-D2? Very sad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Fisher, We love Jenna Fisher.
Yes, we do.
Remember from The Office?
Yep.
Sure. Not the outside office when she was the when she joined the show, she was on the first inside office was she was on that.
I did hear a guy try to explain the branch office.
Yeah.
On the air of the past. She's on that You and Me and the Apocalypse now, I think.
Okay.
I think that's what she's doing now.
Is that on the air?
Yeah, it's a TV show. Very popular.
Or easy. Can't be very popular, or else I would have known.
Everything Bean knows about is very popular or the worst thing ever.
I remember seeing the commercials for it. I didn't know if it started airing.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Laura Prepon. Excuse me. Do you have any Laura Prepon? Remember those commercials?
Come on.
She's 36 years old. Peter Sarsgaard is 45. Wanda Sykes, the comedian, is 52. Bryan Cranston. Oh, he is the one who knocks. He's 60 years old. And Rachel Weisz. Oh, boy, I still love me some Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz, it's today and your birthday. 46. Mm-hmm. Is that Broadway calling? Are they calling to offer me a job?
Well played, sir.
Thank you. Rachel's 46 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Order your pizza, some order your Chinese food.
Okay.
5 cases of Pepsi, 5 cases of Coke.
It's raining.
Have your iPads charged. Have your iPods charged.
We're fine, Frankie.
Have your cell phones charged. Have your laptops charged. Have your tablets charged.
Just a little rain.
Have your 3G, 4G ready.
It's okay.
Be safe and stay safe.
All right, be safe. We know it's raining. We know that there's some thunder, Frankie, but we're going to be fine. Hey, we're going to talk UFC 196 in just a couple of minutes. It's here on the Kevin Amin Show. I was looking at TMZ over the weekend, Kevin, as we prepare to bring our friend Harvey Levin from the TMZ newsroom on. And here's what it said. This is the after parties. Conor McGregor and Holly Holm were light on their feet at their UFC after parties in Vegas. Lighter because they weren't weighted down by their championship belts.
Oh, too soon, Harvey.
Well, it seemed right. It was
Harvey, you guys are so funny. Hey, you had a hell of a weekend there at TMZ.com. As usual, you not only have to be right, but you have to be first. That's the kind of news operation you're running. You broke two huge stories over the weekend, Harvey. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, we broke the O.J. Simpson story where the knife was found, and that's a crazy story. And also Nancy Reagan, which I will tell you about. I've got a great story about Nancy Reagan.
All right. Let's start with O.J. Just because, I mean, it seems so improbable that evidence could possibly exist that had not been looked at this many years down the road. What happened for folks who maybe didn't see the site?
How crazy does this cop seem?
Insane.
Nuts. And horrible at his job.
Well, this is why this is so interesting. So let me I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Right. So 2002, there's a retired traffic cop from LAPD who's doing a location security thing for a house where they're doing a movie shoot across the street from where OJ lived. And there's a construction guy doing demolition in the property, comes across the street, sees the cop, says, I found this knife. It was buried near the perimeter of the house that OJ lived in. What do you want to do with it? And the cop says, well, give it to me. And the cop takes it. He takes it home, and he puts it in his toolbox where it sits for years and years and years. In January, late January of this year, like a month and a half ago, he calls a buddy of his at robbery homicide and says, you know, I'm going to frame this thing, and I want to put the DR number, the record number of the Nicole Brown Simpson, Ron Goldman murders in the frame. I want to engrave it. What's the DR number? And the guy says, are you frickin' crazy? You kept this knife? And he tells his bosses, I am told that they ordered the guy to return the knife, and he refused, and they said, we're going to do this the easy way or the hard way. We're going to get a search warrant if you don't give us the knife. So he reluctantly turned it over. And now it's being tested for hair, blood, and actually goes to the serology department for DNA testing today, and we will see if they get anything or if it's even the knife.
And that cop's name was Mark Furman.
No.
Yep. All right.
He says he called the West L.A. division of LAPD. And that the West L.A. division said, you know, the case is closed. Go ahead and keep the knife in the door.
I know.
There
just
are a lot
put
of
it
cops
in your toolbox. Come
a
on.
A lot of cops don't believe that.
Ugh. Yeah, that seems unlikely. But the truth be told, though, even if the case was closed, I mean, they can't reopen it with new evidence anyway, right? Because
well,
he was acquitted.
But here's what I'm interested in. Look, here's what I'm interested in. I would love to see, you know, I mean, I don't care if Ron Goldman, Nicole Brenn Simpson, or O.J. Simpson's blood is on this knife. What I care about is there DNA evidence with somebody else, say a friend of O.J. Simpson's, because I am convinced that somebody, one of his close friends or family members, got rid of the bloody clothes, the bloody shoes, and the bloody knife. And that's what I'd like to see. And they probably can't do anything to that person now, but just almost like Deep Throat, as a matter of deep curiosity, I want to know who buried that knife, if that's the knife.
And just to refresh my memory, Harvey, because we haven't gotten to this part in the FX series, the murder weapon was never found.
Never found in the case, right?
Spoiler alert! What?
And I will tell you one other thing. I talked to this cop's lawyer, and I said to him, "Can I ask you a question? Is it possible that, I don't know, maybe in late January, when all of a sudden this O.J. Simpson TV series was really hot, he might have been framing it not just to put up on his wall, maybe to sell it and engrave it and do the." And he said, "Absolutely not. Absolutely not."
Interesting. You probably saw the Marcia Clark interview that came out over the weekend, where she believes full heartedly that this is all an FX publicity stunt, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an FX publicity.
Yeah, that is crazy. So, obviously, you don't reveal sources, but was that a phone call that you or someone took in the office, Harvey, that you said, "I can't even believe this. This was too far-fetched to even go with"?
No, because of the nature of how I got it, I knew immediately it was true.
All right.
Harvey dug it up. A lot of people don't know that.
Harvey buried it, yep. And then he dug it up. Yep. He's just waiting for a slow weekend.
When I say true, I'm not saying that it is the knife. I'm just saying I knew. See, to me, the craziest story is the cop
more than
the knife.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. It is. All right. Let's move on to scoop number two. Harvey broke the news to the world that former First Lady Nancy Reagan had passed away. She had been in ill health. She was 94 years old, so it wasn't a surprise. But who do you know on the inner circle of Reagan world that would give you this information?
You know, everybody says, can I tell you how we did it?
Yes.
I was in the office, and I was with four of my my employees. Excuse me, three other employees. And we were all here doing work. We were mostly doing UFC stuff. And we got a tip. We made at least 100 phone calls. We burned up the telephones. We were calling everybody under the sun. And that's what reporting is. And the way we got it, there was somebody who was kind of critical in this. We called that person 25 times before they finally answered. But we were it's what you do. And it's funny because everybody says, "Well, how do you do it?" Well, I mean, you just make phone calls and you try and find new sources and people you know, and you call and call and call and call and call, and you hit brick walls, and eventually you get it. And it's so funny because, you know, everybody's like, "Well, how did he?" It's like, this is what you kind of do as a reporter. I don't quite get the mystery.
No, really not, though. I worked at a news station for 14 years, and every time TMZ broke something, everyone's like, "How'd they do it?" I'm like, "Hey, you just ordered a pizza."
It's so weird. It's like, I don't get this. But can I tell you my favorite Nancy Reagan story?
Sure.
You know, look, she turned out, you know, she was almost Marie Antoinette when she started, and she became such a beloved first lady, and loved also for the loyalty to Ronald Reagan. But Nancy Reagan was I thought she was awesome, but she was a gossip. And my favorite Nancy Reagan story is Dominic Dunn. Dominic Dunn went to the Bel Air Hotel about, I don't know, it must have been 15 years ago, and had lunch with Heidi Fleiss, Hollywood.
There's a name we haven't heard in a while.
The Hollywood Madam. They walk in and they pass a table, and sitting at the table for lunch is Nancy Reagan and Betsy Bloomingdale. And so Dominic knew Nancy forever, and they all knew each other except Heidi, obviously, and they just stared at each other and nobody said anything. Dominic walks to the table, has lunch for about an hour and a half, walks her out and then forgot something, comes back to his table, and then passes the table of Nancy and Betsy, who are still there. Nancy Reagan looks up as Dominic keeps walking, and she looks at him and she says, "Sit down and spill it."
And this is a woman who's well into her, you know, 80s at that point, who just wants to hear the dirt.
Oh, she loved it. And I don't know why. That's such a, it's just such a dimension that nobody ever talks about. And I just, I don't know. I think she's awesome.
Sit down.
Do you think Nancy watched some of these Republican debates to see what the party of Reagan has become, and that was enough for her just to close her eyes and not want to wake up again?
It's amazing. You know, and it's so funny because when you really think about Ronald Reagan and Nancy, and it is kind of a lesson for this, for the Republicans especially, is that, you know, Ronald Reagan had competent people around him, but by himself he wasn't the best president. But he got good people and listened and had a good center. But the reason he's so beloved is he was really a decent man, and nobody could say otherwise. And boy, talk about a radical departure from Ronald Reagan. Everybody's embracing his name, and they're talking about penis ice. And it's just, you know, it ain't the way Ronald Reagan operated.
Yes, politics have changed, that's for sure. Well, congratulations on your excellent scoops over the weekend, Harvey. We always appreciate having you on. TMZ, of course, airs throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, the original show. The TMZ Live airs at 4. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, the new hilarious game show South of Wilshire. Don't miss it. Weekday afternoons on Channel 13 at 5:30. Have a great week, man. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys. See ya.
There was a thing going around yesterday afternoon that if you had gone to Las Vegas and put money down on the Lakers to beat the Golden State Warriors and for Conor McGregor and Holly Holm to both lose in UFC 196 on Saturday night, if you'd have put $100 down, you would have won $31,000 as a result of that. But you also would have been making a terrible, stupid bet.
I don't know that you could have either, can you? Can you just...
Yeah, you could totally. What was it they called? The parlay. You could totally parlay anything you wanted at some of those casinos. But nobody would ever do that, nor should anybody ever do that, because the fact that all three of those things happened this weekend made it an unbelievable weekend in sports. How did the Lakers beat the Warriors, by the way? The Lakers had won 12 games. The Warriors had won 55. It had to be – I didn't watch – I only saw the end of the game. It had to be more than Steph Curry missing 90% of his three-pointers.
I got to tell you, I feel like if you already won 55 games at this point, it would be tough to pay attention.
Yeah.
How much do you need to care about the second half of the season?
You've already made the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was also pointed out that they were in L.A. and had a free Saturday night. There was no game Saturday night and an early start on Sunday. And perhaps the Warriors took advantage of that.
Plus, the Lakers are just better.
Yes, Kevin.
All right. So UFC 196. Who were you guys rooting for in the Holly Holm Miesch Tate fight?
Holly Holm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the public was?
I don't know.
Because, you know, Miesch got the chanting started early because she was doing so well in that second round. And I was trying to figure out who people wanted to win that fight. I mean, Miesch has been around for a long time, has been a big star in the UFC, has never been a champion before. I'm sure there were people who have been following her for a long time that were rooting for her. But Holly, obviously, is the golden girl because of beating Ronda. I couldn't get a beat on who people wanted to win. But it was a great fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I think Holly had it won if it went to decision. And as soon as Miesch grabbed on with that, what, rear naked choke, holy crap.
Yeah.
That was the best ending to a fight I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, in round two, Holly almost lost it. And to her credit, did not tap out because Miesch is on top of her and did everything short of choking her. Here's a little bit of round two.
Holly trying to fight it off. Place. Miesch's controlling her breathing here, covering her mouth. Holly's gonna make it, Joe. Miesch's on top of her still, though, Mike. Wow, what a round for Miesch Tate. We got ourselves a fight.
Listen to that crowd.
Yeah. Insane.
It was unbelievable.
She was fighting her off like that for at least, what was it, 3 minutes?
It was unbelievable. The fact that she got out of that, I was like, all right, Holly.
And I was stunned that she was able to stand up and go back in for round three, and she won round three, and then she won round four. So Miesch knows, you know, not knowing how they were going to score round one, Misha's like, I don't have any choice. I've got to go for it. Because, I mean, Miesch was so smart all night long at letting Holly come to her, or knowing how to go to her. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She did not trip herself up. She fought such a brilliantly intelligent fight. And then she managed to get her down on the ground today, which, you know, Holly has a boxing background. She doesn't come from jiu-jitsu. Obviously, she has learned it and she is good at it. But Misha Tate on this date was a little better at it.
Misha's got it now.
Misha looking to lock it in. Misha looking to choke her out.
By the way, how terrifying was that to see Holly Holm's head just fall to the ground as if she were asleep? Because she passed out from no oxygen for a couple of
seconds. When Joe said it looked like she was tapping, she was punching.
Yeah.
Like air.
It was so weird. And then Misha tried to run up to her, and the people who worked there were all surrounding Holly Holm laying on the canvas, and they were like pushing her away. They were like, hands up, don't come anywhere near here. You know what I mean? Because we got to make sure she's okay first. That's a scary second when you see someone pass out due to lack of oxygen. That was unbelievable. So what does Dana do now, you guys?
I don't know. I don't know what he does now unless there's a rematch of this fight.
I think there should be.
I mean, basically, that's what I think you have to go with that. I don't
rematch
think Ronda's going to fight even until later this year. So,
yeah, if she's not fighting October, November at the earliest,
right?
You need to fight again.
I mean, everybody was questioning why Dana decided to put this fight on because he was at least making the possibility exist that there wouldn't be the rematch that everybody wanted, which was to see Holly and Ronda together. And it had to be his worst nightmare having Misha win that thing.
But
right?
Also, how smart is Dana? Because, A, nobody saw this coming, but the fact that Holly agreed to this fight and he said, all right, okay, let's do it. How smart is he? Because now all we're talking about is the next fight.
So now we have more stars.
Absolutely.
Dave is suggesting to me, by the way, that Dana was reached over the weekend and says that it will be Misha versus Ronda next.
Huh.
So that's got to piss Holly off.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Holly's like, hey, I was the champion. I had that belt for like 3 weeks. Come on.
All right. So then you get your Conor McGregor, who, by the way, I know he lost, but he had nothing to lose.
Yeah, it was not a title fight.
It was not a title fight. He's still the champion in the featherweight division. He just didn't win a welterweight crown. So there was really no downside for him to attempt this. He went for it. He got $1 million base salary plus a cut of the pay-per-view, by the way. It was kind of worth doing, right? I mean, even if you didn't win, there's, again, no downside for him. But here's how that fight ended. Seen Conor McGregor lose a fight since November of 2010, by the way. He gave a very gracious speech afterward where he said, you know, he just had a better game plan, and I am humble in victory, humble in defeat. You know, I'll see you again. Why do you laugh at that?
Because that's what we
humble
know about.
Humble in victory, yeah.
That's how
because he's
know
the
you.
Least humble person in the world.
Ever.
But at least he did give credit for Nate Diaz for fighting a great fight and winning him.
After 11 days, he came in 11 days and did that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you better be humble.
Nate Diaz, however, the winner, had one of the greatest
the best ever
post-fight interviews. I've never seen Joe Rogan laugh as hard as he did when he asked this question and received this answer moments after the fight. Here's Nate Diaz.
Nate Diaz, you just shook up the world. How's that feel?
Hey, I'm not surprised, mother.
So what a night, right?
What a night.
It was crazy.
Allie, we don't have time for this, but Allie started texting and tweeting immediately that she called both.
I mean,
well, she didn't,
saying.
Though.
Do you remember that, Bean?
No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you exactly what Allie said.
She called both.
Oh! Allie said, and we can find the tape. She said, what's going to happen to Dana if both of them lose?
I'm talking about off air. What did I say?
Nothing.
I don't remember you ever
Not
saying
word.
That. That's why I brought it up.
Oh,
I don't remember that.
I said when he did that press conference and made fun of his shoes and made fun like, oh, you're poor. You're going to da, da, da. I said, you know what? You're going to be humbled because you forgot where you were from.
Nope.
Do you remember that conversation?
Nope.
I remember having
that conversation, but that's not saying that they're both going to lose, which you were taking credit for all weekend
and
long.
And I will for the rest of my life.
I'm hearing from the other room, Dave says he called it too. Beer Mug said he also called it. Christine said I had it.
See?
Right?
We're all right.
Right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
Speaking of standing in the pouring rain, as that lyric was, Andrew Siciliano tweeted that there are news stations in Los Angeles advising people to stay home today. Now, is that a little bit of an overreaction to something?
Oh, my God, it's raining!
It's not just raining.
Stay home from work because of a thunderstorm? Come on.
And what I read into
flash flood warnings, torrential downpours, lightning, thunder. This is a major conflagration.
All right, Frankie. Come on.
That word means.
What's a conflagration?
actually means a raging fire. So it's exactly the opposite of what I said. Still, this is a big deal.
But if you're at work, you should go home, right?
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Hey, come back, Rob. Hey, we're still doing a show.
I gotta go home. It's raining.
Anyway.
Conflagration.
Right.
Doug Benson joins us in studio next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Pennywise will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, time for another look at the showbiz bean. Here's Ralph.
You want a balloon?
Not that band.
What?
The band.
Yeah.
The band.
Yeah.
Aww, the band.
So looking forward to a big creepy clown.
Well,
you're a bad dude.
Everything floats down here.
Oh, I hate it.
Come on!
Oh.
You want a balloon?
It's Monday. It's raining. It's early. Everything about this sucks. Everything. So I'm going to take the edge off. With a little cocaine. A little cocaine. No. With some tickets. With some free tickets. You know how much I love the Paley Fest. It's one of my favorite times of the year. The Paley Fest, for the uninitiated, is when the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they have a big celebration of all things TV. They bring together your cast and creators of your favorite TV shows, and they give you, the mere mortal, a chance to bask in their greatness and ask them questions and hear all the behind-the-scenes tales of your favorite TV shows. It's happening again. Paley Fest 2016 is happening from March 11th through the 20th at the Dolby Theater. And to celebrate, I will be giving away tickets to each of these evenings. Great lineup this year, by the way. Better Call Saul. How great would it be to hear what's going on behind the scenes of that show? Scream Queens, Black-ish, Supergirl, Scandal, Big Bang Theory, Fear the Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and many more. To get details and tickets, you can go to paleycenter.org. That's P-A-L-E-Y, paleycenter.org. And if you join, it's much easier to get the tickets because these events always sell out. So let me give you some tickets now. If you're a fan, like our pal Ali McKay is, of the television program Empire. You like the Empire. On March 11th, it is an evening with the cast and creators of that television show. I've got four pairs of tickets right now, four lucky winners. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. If you're a fan of Empire, then you'll get a chance to spend the evening with Lucius and Cookie and Oscar the Grouch. He'll be there. Mr. Hooper.
I think that's just Sesame Street that you're naming.
Mm-hmm. Where's my piece of the empire? I don't think so, Cookie. I built this empire for my sons.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm back, and I want some empire.
We should do a competing night right across the street.
My one-man show?
For Bailey's.
Could be good stuff. Monday mornings, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Zootopia crushing the competition. $73.7 million in its debut. Made it the largest opening ever for a Disney animated film. Can you imagine?
I'm not surprised, mother.
think back of all the big Disney movies, your Toy Stories, your Monsters, Inc.'s, your Finding Nemo's.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Biggest opening weekend ever for a Disney animated film. London Has Fallen. It was second in its debut, made $21.7 million. Then Deadpool, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Gods of Egypt. Those are the top five films. Then Risen, Kung Fu Panda 3, The Revenant, Eddie the Eagle, and The Witch at number 10. That Witch getting a lot of attention. People saying good things about The Witch.
I've heard the same.
Yeah. Must be the season of The Witch, I'm thinking. You know? Because it's doing so well.
That's what I would call it.
Wow.
Wow.
Real old.
This thing on?
Yeah.
Really? Unfortunately. It's raining.
Yeah.
Stay home. Don't go out.
Yeah, it's not safe out there.
Stay away from windows, we heard.
People are saying the thunder was so intense that it shook and people thought it was an earthquake.
We were in the other room, and we're having a performance at the big
Red Bull Sound Space,
and I thought they were loading in. I thought they were loading in, you know, a big tractor, trailer, truck or something. I was like, what is that rumbling? It was the sky. The sky was rumbling. That's what happened. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jenna Fisher's 42 years old today. Excuse me. Rachel Weisz is 46. Laura Prepon, 36 years old today. Peter Sarsgaard is 45.
Yeah, he is.
How is that even sexy? Yeah. That he's 45. I don't understand the double entendre there.
Yeah, he is.
He's creepy, though, right, Allie?
No.
You don't think Peter Sarsgaard is creepy?
I'd let that creepy all over me.
All right.
So good.
Not sure what that means.
I don't either, but I'm into it. 45.
You're the worst sex talker ever. Yeah. Yeah, he's 45. He can creepy all over me. I want my money back from this phone sex line. I want a refund on my credit card. Let me talk to your superior. You're the worst. Yeah. That phone sure has a cradle.
What? Come on. At least try, Allie.
I was.
And actor Bryan Cranston celebrates his 60th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Hey, thanks to everybody who bought their tickets over the weekend for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. The show is coming up fast on Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium. A tremendous lineup of comedy for great causes again this year, with the proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. There are still some tickets available if you still want to buy it and join us that night. And we're going to give you the details coming up later this hour on Kevin Bean's April Foolish's opening act contest. We did it last year. We had so much fun. We want to do it again. We'll tell you about that coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock.
Peyton Manning retired.
He is going to announce his retirement today. Yes, that is correct.
It's a weird process because everybody sort of knew from the second he won the Super Bowl that he was going to. He's like, no, I don't know. Got to think about it. All right, I'm going to make an announcement that I'm going to think more about it. And then I'm going to make an announcement that I'm going to make an announcement.
Aren't you so grateful he's retiring, though?
Yes, but get it over with already.
What's your rush?
Well, I'm just saying, how long has it been since the Super Bowl?
A few weeks.
That's not that long.
It's not that long. He had a remarkable career, and I love thinking about what it has been like for the Colts over the past 4 years that he's been with Denver. Because he played for the Colts for a long time, won a bunch of MVP awards, won a Super Bowl with them, and then he had all that surgery done on his neck and his spine, and then they said, well, you're too busted up. We don't want you anymore. Remember, they got rid of him. Then he goes to Denver. 4 years in a row in Denver, they won the AFC West. Went to the Super Bowl twice, including winning this year. So, I mean, that is a great second act, isn't it? He's the all-time winningest quarterback in terms of games won. 200, including regular season and playoff games. I mean, a real Hall of Fame career. And we thought it might be fun to find out what's going on in the Manning family. So we asked Dave if you could line up our good friend Eli, who has been our NFL correspondent over the years. Eli, welcome to the show. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'll be right there. Hello?
Hey, Eli?
Hi, I'm Eli.
We were just calling to talk to you about your brother Peyton retiring.
Oh, Peyton?
Yeah.
Old man Peyton, who's not playing football anymore?
Right? Yeah, he's right there.
Hold on a second. Yeah!
Are you having a party?
Only one Manning plays quarterback now. And that Manning is a guy named me.
So, yeah, of course, you're still in the league.
I'm still in the league. And old people aren't allowed in the league anymore. Bye-bye.
He is a couple years older than you. He did have 18 great seasons, though.
You're just too precious. Sit down.
Does it still kind of sting you that he's won two Super Bowls also?
Yeah. You know what doesn't sting me? Not playing.
Yeah.
That does not sting me because I will still be playing.
Still be playing,
and
yeah.
I will be doing so much winning, you'll be saying, oh, please, Mr. Quarterback, can we please stop winning? And I'll be like, no, we are, make America great!
Right. Okay. Someone's been spending too much time in front of CNN in the offseason, it sounds like. So, what's Peyton going to do now? Is he just going to...
Probably cry.
Well, I don't think he's going to cry, but... Just make a lot of money as a spokesperson?
Oh, Papa John, kiss me.
Yep. What is their relationship, Eli?
Gay.
Can you tell us? Oh,
gay.
Okay.
Gay well, for pizza.
They certainly were.
Gay for pay, gay for pizza.
They certainly were making out on the field after the game, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that was my joke.
Oh, yeah, you already said that, yeah.
Okay. That's why I did that joke.
All right.
Why do they call me dumb?
So, have
Hi,
you.
Hi, I'm Eli.
You're Eli Manning, I know. Have you congratulated your brother? You slow down on the drinking there, Eli. Jeez.
You slow down.
I'm not drinking.
I'm celebrating the most happiest day of my life.
Well, this is just sad. I mean, it doesn't
no,
really.
It's the opposite of sad. That's what right. I'm saying. It's happy.
But it doesn't have anything to do with you. You have your own separate career from your brothers, and you
that
can wish
is going
him well.
Forward. That yes. is actually going to continue.
That's right, yes.
And then some careers are dead.
Some careers are over. Yeah, you're right.
Not over, dead.
Okay. But
oh, someday it'll be true. I'll be the only living Manning.
Oh, that's just wow. mean. Oh. You love your brother,
First,
don't you, Eli?
I have to get rid of Cooper, then Dad.
Oh, come on.
I don't think you need
and
to get rid of
him. I'll save Peyton for that.
Oh, Eli, geez. This turned dark.
I'll make him watch.
What's happening right now?
I'm really drunk.
Maybe slow down a little on the booze.
Too late.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
All right, we have been told that it is not fit for man or beast out there. It's raining, people, so stay home. Let's go to our on-the-street weather correspondent, Doug Benson, who has just come in from outside. Doug, what can you tell us?
Oh, it's crazy out there. I wish I'd never left the house.
Thanks for playing along. There's not an overreaction from the media today a little bit, is there, Doug? About
I would love that if you just turned on Eyewitness News and there's just a reporter with an umbrella just saying, F it, and they just walk off camera. Like, it's just too crazy out there. I think it's great advice to stay home because who doesn't want to stay
Agreed.
Home?
Agreed.
You know? So go ahead. Stay home. You know, there certainly are a lot of accidents and stuff when it's this rainy here. Mm-hmm. So,
what would you say is good advice to people who are already at work, like those of us in this room? Should we now leave and go right home?
No.
Come on, Doug.
I meant yes.
Play along.
So we should ride the storm out, is what you're saying. We should just yeah. stay in this building until it's dry outside.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's what you should do, Bean. Whatever you do, don't go out and about in L.A. today.
I will do my best. Well, our friend Doug Benson is here, and as always, he has many things going on. He's a very popular stand-up comedian, and, of course, he is the host of Getting Doug with High. You are doing a special live show coming up at the Alex Theater in Glendale. Let me see. You wanted to do it in April. What would be a good date?
Well, of course, you got to do it on Hitler's birthday.
Oh, that's right. April 20th mm-hmm. is when you're doing it. Now, is this a pretty big venue for that show?
It's huge. So that's why, I'm here. You know, I called you guys and said, can I come in and start talking about this show that's over 2 months away? it's a month and a half away now. So that's not too bad. It's a huge venue, and we just want to have a huge show. It'll be me and probably five other comedians on stage all just getting high for like 90 minutes, see what happens. It's always crazy whenever we do the ones in front of an audience. But this is the biggest one. There's fantastic. A lot of seats. So a special offer for Kevin and Bean listeners. If you buy your tickets now, you'll be closer to the stage.
That is a great offer.
If you don't buy them today, if you wait, you'll be further away.
Is that a special offer?
A special offer for your listeners. Get on it now, and you'll be better off. Because all the tickets are the same price, I believe. So the longer you wait, the further away you'll be from the action.
Yeah, just $30. And you said what? That's five comedians on stage for $30?
Yeah, at least. I hope maybe more. But, that's the plan. Because we've done a lot of live shows where we just have a bunch of comics on stage. We all get high in front of an audience. But this is obviously the first time. We've done it in a place this big and on the sacred day that is 420.
Do people give you weed all the time?
Yeah.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, your security guy outside gave me some.
Oh, Charles.
Doug, you was going to have some words with him because he didn't give me any.
He's also, he's not, maybe he recognizes me because I've been here a bunch of times, but when you walk up, he shouldn't say, you're here for Kevin and Bean, right? Because then whoever
be
walks
anybody.
Up could just say, yep, that's me. I'm here for Kevin and Bean. I could stick cans to my head.
Oh.
And then they let the guy in.
That was truly a great American. Do not insult Kevin's favorite guest of all time, Doug. But hold on a sec.
He should put a can on his head and then let people smash it. Like,
oh, we didn't think about that.
Gag, yeah.
That's
Let's have him back.
Let's have him back.
That's the only answer. You have often on April 20th done a stand-up set, right? You've done that where you've recorded it for albums and stuff like that. So this is the first time you've done the Getting Doug With High on April 20th. How are you getting around the non-smoking inside of the theater law?
Because it's the same thing we do when we do it live at UCB or Largo. We use vapor. You know, we don't light anything on fire because that's what you can't do in a theater is any kind of fire stuff.
But oh, I see.
You,
I got
it's a shame.
If you have, you know, we have this machine called the Volcano, and it makes big bags of delicious smoke, and we use that. And that's how we get around that system.
Okay,
that thing.
That's a good deal. And you've I know we've asked you this before, but because the product is getting stronger and the devices are getting more efficient at putting them into your lungs, you still haven't gotten too high to be funny ever.
Well, you know, some people would disagree, but whenever somebody doesn't like my show, weed gets blamed. That guy was too high, man.
Do you blame it on that?
I don't know. Maybe I spoke too much.
I tell the audience at the beginning of most of my shows, hey, I really tried to get too high to perform today, but I've failed. So here we go.
So here we are.
I'm here and I can talk.
When Doug did Foolishness, I'll never forget looking in his eyes when he was walking down the stage. I was like, I don't know how this guy is standing up.
Yeah, this guy's not even here. And he's going to go out there and tell some jokes. And, somehow I do it over and over again.
You're incredibly functional. Now, I didn't see your spot on the Podcastathon over the weekend. Our mutual friend Jimmy Pardo does that great event every year where he does 12 hours of podcasting to raise money for Smile Train. And I didn't see your spot, but I did hear that you were auctioning off a listener, had the opportunity to be a guest on Getting Doug With High. Have you done that before where you've had people come in that you don't even know just because they wanted a surprise? And how does that usually go?
We tried to do it at the last podcastathon, and the winner paid the money but never showed up.
What?
Like we rebooked him a couple of times, and the guy just never. He wasn't from LA, so it was all about his schedule and when he was going to be in LA. And for whatever reason, the guy just never showed up, and then just quit communicating with us.
If that's the case, you should auction off like 100 of them.
I wish
a lot more money.
I wish they were all no shows. But so we're trying again. Whoever won this year paid $3,000 for the privilege.
Whoa.
And we also auctioned off a seat on my one of my other podcasts, Doug Loves Movies, and that one went for about $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of
it's
surgeries
crazy.
For kids, man. That's awesome.
Actually, I think it was more than $5,000 now that I think of it, because I missed the final total because they did that at the at the end of the telethon.
My fear about that kind of thing is that somebody would show up and they would be desperate to make you laugh and would just keep talking and dominating and not being funny.
They could turn out to be a horrible guest.
Right?
It's true, but
do you reserve the right to kick them out?
Yeah.
You should.
Well, on both of both Getting Doug With High and Douglas Movies, there's multiple guests,
right.
So they'd be on with some other comedians or just other people. So hopefully, they wouldn't try to dominate. They usually get because I've had auction winners on a bunch over the years, and they usually get pretty quiet.
Yeah, I was going to say they're starstruck. They're starstruck because if they're a big enough fan of yours to pay that kind of money to be on the stage, they're probably too nervous to say anything, I would imagine.
Yeah, and also just the there's always in my shows there's like a strong trivia game element that people love to sit at home and watch game shows and think I'd be great at that.
Right.
And then as soon as you're in front of an audience trying to answer questions, you just completely blank out. So it's fun to watch that happen.
Totally. I so wanted to go for waffles with Pardo, man, but it just got I think it got like to $3,000 or something too.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's
the amount of money.
That,
yeah, it's a lot. And But, you know, he does the podcastathon every year, and his charity's Smile Train, and they, you know, they fix cleft palates on kids in
it's a great charity.
Third world countries. And it costs like $250 for that surgery. So, like, when I see the numbers, I know exactly how many kids are going to get their faces fixed, and it's makes me feel pretty good.
That's great. All right, we've got to take a quick break. Our friend Doug Benson is here. Getting Doug with High Live is happening. It's coming up in about 6 weeks or so at the Alex Theater in Glendale. But buy your tickets now. Get a good seat at alextheater.org. Tickets are just $30. It's going to be a super fun night. 18 and over, please. Is your website DougBenson.com? Is that what it is?
No, DougLovesMovies.com.
DouglovesMovies.com. All right, more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Friend Doug Benson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is going to be appearing at the Alex Theater in Glendale, bringing his Getting Doug with High Live live show. He and a bunch of guests on stage smoking out and being hilarious. Tickets are on sale right now through alextheater.org. 18 and up, please. By the way, Doug, have you how's Colorado? Have you been to Colorado?
Oh, it's so great. It's just a wonderland.
I can't believe you haven't moved there yet.
It's cold there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a little too chilly for me, but it's super fun to visit. As is, Washington State and Oregon. Haven't been to Alaska yet since they flipped. But
the beef in Washington from the pot community is that the weed is good, but it's too expensive. Is that what you're hearing in Colorado as well, or is it more reasonably priced?
I have
priced?
Not heard that in Colorado. Everybody seems pretty happy with the prices. They seem pretty comparable to, like, California dispensary prices to me, so it seems legit.
Okay. Anyway, alextheater.org for the show coming up on April 20th. We need your help on something, Doug.
Oh, boy.
We announced.
It's
not that good. We announced Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. In fact, tickets went on sale Friday. They're selling great. I don't know if you heard about our show this year.
Oh, it's a great lineup you got this year.
Bob Saget, Eddie Iff, mm-hmm. Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and Wheeler Walker Jr. Tickets are on sale now for The Shrine on April 2nd. But we're for the second year in a row, we're going to do the opening act contest. So this is where we allow a Kevin and Bean listener who is a comedian or wants to be to open the show. And that has to be, especially in a room like The Shrine, when you know you're playing ahead of the Sagetts and the Moores and the Schlesingers and people like that who are so damn good, that has to be a terrifying thing.
Yeah, and also, you make this person go on first?
Yes. They open the show.
Yeah, so that's even worse because, the audience isn't warmed up yet.
Right, but I would...
You guys are going to walk out there in your shorts and say, here's the person who won the contest.
Right.
Good luck.
Right.
But wouldn't you rather go first than after somebody funny?
No.
Really?
It's always better that the crowd's already having a good time and laughing. When you have to be the first person, which is what's funny about, MCs and comedy clubs are generally the person with the least experience. And so they have to go on first and warm up the crowd and also be learning their craft at the same time.
Hmm.
So it's tough. Like over in England, the person who MCs the show is generally the most famous or most experienced person on the show because they can go on first and, And that's what I do at my own shows on the road is I go out and introduce the opening act.
Okay.
So at least maybe you could do that. Maybe you can get whoever's going last. I don't know who your headliner is going to be. I don't know if you release the order.
We don't know yet.
But whoever it is, let's say it's Saget or whoever, or Iglesias, have them walk out at the beginning and say, here's whatever their name is.
So that way it's like easing into a warm bath.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we announced the opening act contest, and then Doug is just trying to...
This is not how it's going to go.
Here's how your contest should work. First of all, scrap it entirely. Next step, go home. It's raining. What are you doing out?
So, Doug, the guy who won last year is actually a comedian. You may even know him. Eddie Pence is his name.
I don't know him, but...
He's very funny.
He was great.
He's very funny, and here's how we do it. You have to be 18 or older, and you go to krock.com right now, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and upload a 2-minute video of your comedy act. So that's it. I guess the reason I wanted to ask you about this, Doug, is what advice do you have for somebody who's hearing this right now and they're thinking, I'm funny. I want to try this. I know I'm asking you a huge question, which is how do you do stand-up comedy? But
right.
What advice could you give somebody who's listening right now who's thinking about putting that video together to enter this contest?
Well, I'd say... like, since you guys have to sit, watch all these videos.
Oh, that sucks, but go ahead.
Yeah.
That's why there's a 2-minute time limit.
Wouldn't you say that you found the ones where the person was actually performing for an audience easier to watch and easier to judge whether or not
most of them are at least trying to do comedy at the time. They're not sitting on the couch going, hey,
right, that's what I'm saying. Don't you get some, though, where the person just does their act for 2 minutes into their iPhone?
Yes. We do get that.
Don't do that.
And we also, I'll tell you what was overwhelming last year was we don't understand a word that's being said because the sound quality is so terrible.
Right, and then they send it anyway.
They send that in. You go, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah.
So we picked that guy.
Great underwater comedy stylings.
I imagine the hardest part of getting into comedy is trying to establish your personality and make yourself different from everybody else, because there's a million comedians many times mining from the same material, whether things that happen in real life or things that are happening in the news. It's kind of hard to carve your own lane, isn't it, Doug?
Well, that's the part that takes the longest. That's like, that's why this contest, it's funny that this winner is going to get such a performance opportunity that some comics will never get, being on stage at the Shrine Auditorium. It's, you know, to just jump right in, the best advice I can give as far as finding your personality
is
on stage is to just be yourself. Quit, first of all.
Okay.
And then if you are going to go through with it, then you just got to be as you as you can be, because that's the only thing you've got going into it that makes you different from all the other comics, is that however you look and sound is not going to be the same. If you look like Jay Leno, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why I used him as an example. But
I bet you're right. I bet just like so many bands start out just to end up doing a poor man's version of whatever band they love, I bet that happens in comedy. As somebody will be a huge Doug Benson fan, so they think, oh, I'm going to go out there and be like Doug Benson, and that's a death knell.
That's a bad, bad thing to do. It's barely worked for me. What people should do, you hear, like, especially there's some comedians with very strong voices at any given moment. So, like, right now, there's probably a lot of Louis C.K. out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, Dave Attell has always been had a cadence that people copy. And the late, great Mitch Hedberg, I've heard people sound like him sometimes. And that's something you do in the beginning. Like, when I first started, I kind of, I like Stephen Wright a lot. So I had a lot of, like, one-liners that were low-key and not I didn't expend a lot of energy on stage.
Right.
And then eventually I grew into
now.
Yeah, now I'm a whirlwind of
life.
Yeah. I'm a whirling
flamethrower
dervish
on stage
of, yeah,
now.
I'm a Tasmanian devil. But, I grew more into being myself, and then I was able to ease back a little bit and be, high on stage and sometimes drunk, and somehow it works for me.
Make it work.
I feel like Doug is going to live to be 150 years old his heart beats so slowly because he's so relaxed all the time. You don't strike me as a guy who gets that stressed out.
Oh, I do, though. That's why I've, basically self-prescribed, I've medicated myself with marijuana. Because I am a anxious person by nature.
Really?
Yeah.
You have rounded off the edges, man.
Family.
Yeah. That weed's doing some work.
But also, like, coming in and talking to you guys, there's nothing for me to be upset about right now. So,
because no one's listening.
That's why I'm so chill.
I mean, what?
Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, to upload your 2-minute video of your comedy act. If you think you have what it takes to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's Just 2016. Doug, what was the first time you opened for a big name?
Oh, I'd say, and this is going to date me, when
at least someone will.
When Tim Allen was super popular.
Okay.
Really? Remember that?
Tim the Tool Guy?
The Tool Guy.
Right. I forget.
That Tool.
He
Tim the Tool.
He did stand up?
That's where he got Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. They were giving out, shows to stand-up comedians back then. Roseanne, Home Improvement, and they whatever your shtick was, they turn that into a whole show, and then that's why Seinfeld ended up having a show about nothing, and he sort of ruined the whole comedians getting shows, because he's saying, why even have a premise, why even have a character, why not just be a guy who talks about nothing? But what was
Tim Allen's act though was about tools.
His act was he grunted a lot and talked about how men, you know, like they can fix anything and duct tape and he'd do these, yeah.
Oh my God.
And then that was just translated to you know, the Home Improvement show.
Is that brutal when you go out and they're not there to see you?
Well, no. In this case,
no?
No. A lot of times it's fine because you're just one opening act. And they're excited for the headliner they've come to see. So I think I did a decent job, but I was working at a comedy club in Phoenix, and I got a call saying they Tim Allen's opener's not here. Or they need an opener for Tim Allen at the Celebrity Theater, and I went and opened for him. But it was also the first time I ever had to perform in the round. It was a deal where there's a circle that you stand on, and the audience is completely
around you. Yeah.
So you have to kind of just, without being awkward about it, you just have to kind of
turn around
all the time. Yeah. So you have to, like, you've got to always be aware that, like, a lot of the audience is staring at your back if you don't keep moving.
Or your sweet ass, in your case.
Exactly. So, but then Tim Allen was very nice backstage.
That was my next question, is did you meet him and did he?
Yeah,
he
we
nice
did cocaine. And,
all right. Good.
He didn't charge me very much for it. You know, because, you know, he famously went to prison for,
right.
Yeah. So that's where that reference came from.
He's not the one who killed a guy, is he? He didn't kill a guy.
No,
right?
No.
Who
I mean, maybe a guy did too much of his coke and died or something.
Yeah.
But I don't think he killed a guy.
I thought there was something. Dean,
you just asked who killed a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty general question.
Who am I thinking of, Doug?
Remember there was that guy before The Rock? There was a guy who was just Rock. And he had a TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Charles S. Dutton.
Yes, that's
he
exactly.
murdered somebody.
That's who I'm thinking of, Doug.
What?
That's who I'm thinking
Point
of.
Me.
What?
Did you
Point
do that?
Just happened.
How Doug did
you,
I
you guys
mind
need
meld.
A full-time bean translator?
Yes.
How did you do that?
That is fantastic.
And just sit over there and just.
Oh, my God.
All right, listen. We're out of time. Getting Doug with High 420 show at the Alex Theater in Glendale. Please buy your tickets. You'll have a great time. And real quick, before you go, Doug, you're on at midnight tonight. They're doing something special. What's going on?
Yeah, I got two things to plug, if you don't mind.
Sure, of
quickly.
Course.
Tonight is like a March Madness style brackets tournament on at midnight. I'm one of the top. I'm currently in second place for total wins over the course of the couple of years the show's been on. So I'm going to go up against two other people, Kyle Kinane and Nikki Glaser, who are both very good at it.
Comedy Central tonight at midnight.
Tonight at midnight. And then if I win, then I'll come back later in the week to go up against whoever wins the next two nights. And then on March 28th, the 10th season of Trailer Park Boys is on Netflix, and I have a 3-episode arc on the show where the premise is me and Snoop Dogg and Tom Arnold are all fans of Trailer Park Boys, and when Jimmy Kimmel talks about on Jimmy Kimmel Live that they're opening up a casino at the trailer park where you're allowed to smoke weed, the three of us all travel up there to go see them and hang out with them, and then we have adventures with their characters. But we're playing ourselves, and they're all in character.
That sounds fantastic.
It's so much fun. Hopefully, I don't know how much I'm in it. There's like it's you know 10 episodes, and there's like a 3-episode arc with me and Snoop and Tom Arnold. So that's March 28th on Netflix.
You just said me and Snoop.
Me and Snoop.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, I was just sitting around the set with Snoop, and the man never stopped smoking ever.
Yeah,
and
he's impressive.
And when it's on like a set where everybody's working, he doesn't pass it to anybody. He's just sitting there smoking his own stuff all day long, every day. I go to my trailer and smoke some of mine and be like, I want to smoke with Snoop.
All right, Doug, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Ran into a beer mug in the hallway. I said, Muggs, we're going to try and get you on Getting Doug with High. And he said, I'm going to get so high with him. That was his response.
Sure,
so maybe we
well.
Need to reconsider.
Well.
I don't know.
You need that kind of wit on this show. Bolster up that comedy a little bit.
Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we're going to take your phone calls on any topic. Yes, it's the time of the show. We call Kevin and Bean's What's Good. You call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to talk about something that we haven't maybe talked about on the show, or you got additional comments about UFC 196 over the weekend. Or
I used to throw rocks at you.
No,
how about Robbie Joyner calling us on Friday? How about the real Robbie Joyner calling on What's Good Friday? That was amazing, right?
So the real Robbie Joyner. Is that his Twitter fan?
A lot of people thought he was fake. Like, that was just a joke
it was
Kevin was making.
Overwhelming. People were like, so many
that guy's real
Joyner imposters. Finally, it's nice to get the
real
one.
The real one,
yeah.
Anyway, questions, comments, reactions, thoughts, problems, whatever. We can help you out. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up right after the top of the hour. Call now for Kevin Beats What's Good. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
How you doing? it is Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Zootopia crushing the competition with an opening weekend of $73.7 million. Now, I mentioned earlier this morning, that's a massive opening for an animated film. In fact, the largest opening ever for a Disney animated movie. And I rattled off a couple of names that I couldn't believe it had beaten. Thank the maker that there are some hardcore Disney fans out there to set me straight.
Oh, did they correct you?
With significant vitriol and bile. So thank you for that. It turns out some of the names of the movies I mentioned were Pixar films distributed from Disney. Not okay. Disney animated films. There is a distinction.
All right.
Amongst the Disney files. And so Pixar is a separate entity, even though they are in conjunction with Disney, versus a Disney animated film.
I gotcha.
So anything that is Pixar would not fall under the category of the Disney animated movie
and the people
umbrella.
The people that corrected you, they were angry about this.
Yes, okay. Because I'm an idiot, apparently, when it comes to things Disney. So movies like, let's say, Frozen or Wreck-It Ralph or some of the big Disney titles, this movie has bested those but has not bested anything that Pixar has been involved
Got it.
With. Are we clear now?
Open up a blog.
Can we open up a blog, people, please?
Everybody makes mistakes.
London Has Fallen was second at the box office.
Did you see that?
21.7
so
million.
So great.
I have not seen that yet.
So loud.
It seemed like it had a lot of louds.
It was all loud.
Yeah. That's your kind of movie, right?
I loved
there.
It. And it was quick. It just move.
Yeah.
It's the perfect Kevin film. A short movie that's very loud and explodey.
It was pretty good. I liked it a lot. Back to you.
I heard there wasn't an original idea in it. Is that true? Like, literally, there's not one thing that you've never seen in multiple movies before.
I don't know. I didn't sit there and go, surprise me with something I haven't seen before. It was fast. It was fun. That's all. It was good. It's just action.
Did anyone in the film say, oh, that's going to leave a mark?
Nope.
Did anyone say that?
No.
Did anyone do, like, an Exorcist
spoof
where the head turns all the way around?
No, that's the Ghostbusters trailer.
Oh, that's right.
The new Ghostbusters trailer.
Anyone walk through a clean piece of glass?
Unfortunately,
did you have that
no.
Laugh moment?
No. Good action, good loud. Back to you.
Did they have the
stop asking me questions.
The Clash song? Was that the song for the movie?
No.
London Has Fallen. They didn't have that song?
That was London Calling.
What? I'm not even going. Deadpool was third. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot fourth. Gods of Egypt Risen. Kung Fu Panda 3. The Revenant. Eddie the Eagle at number 9. And then The Witch at number 10. Scary news. Lena Dunham of Girls spent the weekend in the hospital after an ovarian cyst ruptured early Saturday morning.
Ooh.
She's going to have to undergo surgery before being released and has already had to take some time off from promotional events due to her ongoing battle with endometriosis. So,
apparently that's very common for the ladies.
It's common and very painful.
Ovarian cyst, yeah. Mm-hmm. Her doctor reportedly, upon examining her, said, really? Do you have to be naked here too? Don't we get enough of that on your show? And then asked her to get dressed before he would examine her.
That happened?
That happened.
Wow, it's crazy.
Saturday Night Live host this past weekend was Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Wow. Why are you so...
Does he owe you money?
Why are you so frustrated?
It's just such a bad Saturday Night Live this weekend.
It's every weekend.
No,
stop
it's
watching
not.
It.
It's not.
You guys don't know. I watch it all the time. It's the greatest show ever. Except for this show.
It was a tough week, man. It was tough.
Wow. No way to predict that.
What's going on with Jonah?
Well, a lot of people weren't subjected to it. That's good news. It was the lowest rated Saturday Night Live of the season.
It deserved it.
No one watched.
Being watched.
Future was the musical guest. And...
Well, I don't think Jonah Hill is hot right now, and I don't think Future is very mainstream, so there weren't a lot of reasons to bring anything beyond the core SNL fans into the broadcast. You know, you'll tune in for a Trump or a Kanye West or somebody like that that's got a little excitement around him, you know, and that's just not the case with these two.
Well, it's not slowing Jonah's career down at all. Just announced Sony Pictures has said they're going to do a crossover movie with 23 Jump Street and Men in Black.
What?
You heard me. Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum will team up with agents J and K and they will hunt aliens together.
Oh,
you're making that up.
Come on, Sony. Really? Really? Hope someone says, oh, that's going to leave a mark. Hope someone says that in the film.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible ideas, my favorite showbiz story maybe of 2016.
Wow.
Just released from Variety. Thanks for the heads up, Variety. There's announced a new independent drama about the bombing of the trade centers, the World Trade Center on 9/11, called 9/11. The entire movie will take place with five individuals trapped in an elevator in the World Trade Center and their struggle to survive. They've just announced the cast. It will star Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen.
Are no. you kidding?
Whoopi Goldberg no. and Charlie Sheen starring in the drama 9/11.
No. You've been punked.
Thank you. Thank you, sweet Jesus.
That
Thank
can't be
this
true.
Gift.
It Wait, is. Those no way two in an elevator for the whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
But that's not happening.
I feel like that's going to be bad enough. We might have to go.
Oh,
that's dear. Not. That's no, not ever going to get me.
In it. I want to play a pirate in this movie.
Bring it.
This won't get made, you
it's
guys.
It's getting made.
There's no way that movie is going to get made.
You dummy. Got punked. It's happening. Nope.
At some point, somebody is going to say, no, I'm not paying for that.
It has been greenlit. It is happening. Let me give you a quote from the producer. We are immensely grateful to bring this inspirational story to life. 9/11 is a highly emotional journey, and it took a dynamic bunch to collectively come together to make this unique film happen. We are fortunate to have such a gifted cast on board. Both Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg are native New Yorkers who strongly identify with the story.
Boom.
Boom. That's what I'm saying.
Signed, The Onion.
Boom.
It's Boom. Not happening.
It's happening, and it's awesome.
Look, a premise like that would be so difficult to make a movie about that you'd have to have...
You have the...
Christian Bale and Bryan Cranston and Paul Giamatti and
Mark Ruffalo.
You have the
thespian talents of Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen. What more do you need?
I reject
Sit
that
down.
Story. All right.
Boom.
Today's celebrity birthday.
Like when Bean argues with Hollywood.
I'm just saying it. I refuse to accept that that's true.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston, 60 years old today as we look at the celebrity birthdays. Comedian Wanda Sykes is 52. Peter Sarsgaard's 45. Laura Prepon celebrates her 36th birthday. Jenna Fisher's 42. And Rachel Weisz, the lovely and talented actress and also wife of James Bond himself, Daniel Craig. She's 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm with the girl on this one, by the way. I'm with the girl. Hey, Jim and Fletcher from the band Pennywise are joining us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They have a very special thing planned for this week for Pennywise fans. Can't wait to talk about it. That's coming up. But first, how about Kevin and Bean's What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good indeed? Let's start with Ulysses. He is in East L.A. He joins us up first on line three to get Kevin Bean's What's Good for a Monday started.
Hey, Ulysses.
What it do, nephews?
You tell us, my friend.
That Nate and McGregor fight fixed.
Really? Go on.
Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor. McGregor lost.
Yeah,
you said that was fixed.
Yeah, McGregor gave up that throw way too easy, man. Way too easy.
All right, but here's what I'll tell you. I don't have any other knowledge. We're all guessing. But Conor McGregor just didn't take Nate seriously at all and just stood there, and he got tagged with some pretty good shots.
Yeah, there was a right left that he got him. They didn't convince me. Holmes rather go to sleep than submit. Conor McGregor
yes.
tapped out way too quick.
Yes, but here's what I'll say to you. I'll say that Holly Holm lost her belt.
Yeah, she
Conor
was defending
McGregor,
something.
Conor McGregor didn't lose anything. He tapped
yeah.
quickly because it was a non-title fight.
Oh, McGregor lost a lot just in all his talking.
But what did he really lose, though? Again, he's still the featherweight champion of the world. I mean, he could only win by being in that fight, win or lose. There was no downside for
he
him.
He did lose the invincibility thing. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, he can't be beaten.
He lost the invincibility at that weight that he had never fought at before, but no one has ever beaten him at his weight.
Yeah, and then I also think they did it just to, like, to show off Dos Anjos. Like, come on, you could have fought this guy and kicked his butt. But well,
how does it help the UFC to fix that? What do they get out of it?
Oh, they're going to get, like, more people watching the fight next time. Now,
The rematch. Dos Anjos
Dos Anjos going to come and, like, all right, I could take you out. This guy took you out. I agree. I wanted Nate to win, number one. You know, I was rooting for Nate, but it just didn't seem too convincing.
Well, I appreciate your call. It was a super fun night, but I will tell you that his speech, Nate Diaz's speech after the fight, is one of the greatest in sports history.
Nate Diaz, you just shook up the world. How's that feel?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
All right, Ulysses, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to David Rancho Cucamonga. He is on line one. He's up next on Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Hey, David.
Hey, what's good, Kevin and Bean?
You tell us.
I am almost home because Doug Benson said, go home, it's raining. So I'm going home.
you take Doug's word for it?
Well, it was raining too hard and there was lightning. I'm a pool man. I'm not going to
work. All right. You got an outdoor job. You can't work today.
Yeah, I can. And I figure, hey, this is the first time I'll actually take advice from the Kevin and Bean show. So,
but not Kevin and Bean, which we said 10 times before Doug.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the right decision.
I don't know. But I'm almost home right now and I'm getting paid for it. I love the rain.
All right.
I hope it rains more.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, have a fun day. Yeah, you absolutely win, David. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Priscilla. She's in Orange. She's on line four. Now, we were just talking a few minutes ago about how, once again this year, we are doing the opening act contest for Kevin Devine's April Foolishness. If you think you have what it takes, go to krock.com, upload a 2-minute video of your comedy, and you could be the opening act at the Shrine on April 2nd. And Priscilla, that's what you're calling about?
Yep, that's right. I already uploaded my video yesterday, and it's a 5.5-minute video.
So the part where we said 2 minutes or less, that was the part that made you think we needed 5.5.
You guys needed it.
All right, tell us about you. Where are you at in your comedy career, Priscilla?
I've only been up, to be honest, like 11 times.
Good.
But I've been doing karaoke for years, and I love being on stage. I love performing, and it's pretty similar. So I already had my first show that I uploaded on your page.
Okay.
And
we
have
a winner.
More shows coming up. Yes. Are you serious?
So, wait, let's do
so
some
is
karaoke.
It comedy or is it karaoke that you uploaded?
It's comedy.
Okay. All right. Just I'm making
like
sure.
I was only supposed to do 3 minutes that night, and it ended up turning into like 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, go ahead and upload a 2-minute video like we asked so that we will watch it. Okay, Priscilla?
Damn it.
Okay. Damn it. All right. Thank you for the call. Good luck. We'll be looking forward to seeing your tape. And by the way, again, you can go to krock.com, Kevin and Bean page, if you want to upload your video to be on the stage at the Shrine for April Foolishness. All right. Let's talk to Manuel. He's in line 2. Culver City, please.
Hey, Manuel.
What's going on, you guys?
You tell us, man.
It's good.
Andy seemed a little jealous there with Priscilla. Anyway, I'd just like to thank you guys throughout the years. You've helped me out. I wake up every day at 5:15, 5 o'clock. My kids always ask me why, and it's because I know that the show's going to start at 5:30. And you have a lot of more updates to come up with, Dean, because you're always going to keep us updated, but you never update us till today.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of trouble with Manuel's phone. It's kind of flanging out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
There you go. That's so much.
What
see,
were
talking
you
to,
doing?
You're talking to that end of it, Manuel. We can hear you better.
I'm sorry.
All right, you've been listening to the show for a long time, and you have a complaint. What's your complaint?
No, no complaint. I'd like to thank you guys, because throughout the years, you guys have helped me out. I've lost 3 people in the past 3 years, and I think I spoke to you about the jury service thing, remember?
Your sister was in the hospital or something?
What do you need to do to get out of jury duty?
Right.
And that my sister ended up in the hospital.
Right, right.
And I buried her finally in December.
Holy moly, but, I'm so sorry to hear that, Manuel.
No, I know, but I lost my dad 1 year, the next year my stepdad, and then my sister.
Have a great day, everybody. Seriously, look, it's very sad for you, and I'm glad that you're pulling through, but wow, you got any good news at all?
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is that every day I wake up and you guys give me, hope and, how do you say it,
like, if I don't get up and I don't listen to you guys in the morning the way I'm supposed to or the way I'm used to already, I don't go through the day without. So I listen to your podcast and everything else, but I'd like to thank you guys for that.
That is incredibly sweet that you would even give a half a second thinking about us when you got all this other stuff going on in your life. But it's very kind, and if we've helped in any small way, Manuel, I'm happy to hear that, and I wish you lots of strength and hopefully some good things happen for you soon here, all right?
No problem. Thank you. Well, I mean, that's why I listen to you guys every day. Because
all right, let me just say one more thing before you go, and that is, from now on, every time you make a phone call, I want you to talk into this part of the phone that you're talking in right now. Don't do that other thing that you were doing, because that didn't work, okay?
All right. You see, this is why, because of your comic genius, this is the way
right.
I call it.
All right, man. Well, right. Have a great day. Thanks for calling.
Bye now. What's good? I'm not coming the same old. I don't.
Hermosa Beach, representing this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very pleased to welcome back to the program our friends Jim and Fletcher from the band Pennywise are here on K-Rock. Hey, boys.
Yay.
Hello.
Good to see you again. Oh, that was a very enthusiastic yay, Jim.
Yes.
You are on fire. You're so happy to be here.
It's morning.
I know. I can't wait to talk about Fletcher.
And all the bad things I've done.
Well, guys, a huge week for you. You're performing in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock at noon today. Nicole Alvarez is going to be hosting. People can tune in and see that for free at krock.com. That's very exciting. Thank you for doing that in advance. And you also have a big event later in the week, too. You're on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, is this because everyone knows you pull out all the stops when you're celebrating your, 28th year together?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, 28 is the big one. That's the anniversary that everybody saves up.
That's the diamond one. That's the diamond one.
It's 28, right.
Breaking new ground with the 28.
I think we just couldn't come up with anything new to do, so we're like, how about let's do some album shows, and then it happened, and we're pretty happy.
Reluctantly, yeah.
When you say album shows, meaning that each night you'll play a complete Pennywise album back to front, play all the songs in order, and then you'll fill out the set with other songs after that, right, I assume?
Right.
Does this mean over the course of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you're going to be playing songs you haven't played live in a long time?
Yes, that's what it means. That means we've been practicing.
Are there any? Actually, I was going to ask if there are any that you've never played.
There's probably about nine that we've never played ever.
Nine?
Yeah.
This is not going to end well.
We're very scared. See, it's like either you get really drunk and you just don't care, or you get really sober and very nervous. And
I know which one you're choosing.
Jim's going to forget all the lyrics either way.
No, I'm good. We've been practicing and fighting all week, so we're prepared.
Does fighting go with practicing?
Yes.
All the time with you guys?
When you're trying to figure out songs you haven't played in 28 years, yeah.
It's very acrimonious.
You literally have a 20-minute fight over one note on the guitar that goes by like that fast because our songs are pretty fast. So
yeah.
Someone likes to be right all the time.
Who's that? Yeah.
The biggest is always the
rightest. Hey, guys, are these shows going to happen this week? Because I'm starting to get nervous now.
I doubt it.
No. I'm starting to get sick.
Are any of these songs that you barely remember writing and recording? It's been so long now.
Yes, Fun and Games.
I absolutely hate that song. I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it. I think I wrote the music, and
Jason
might have written the lyrics.
It's really poppy for Pennywise.
Yeah. I was going to say something. Yeah,
but it's a really good song, but it's hard to play, and it's kind of pop for Fletcher. He gets a little nervous.
Yeah,
he's not being a tough guy.
Yeah, so it's not tough enough for me. It could have been on a Blink-182 album.
And it's about a girl. It's like, I think we have two songs about girls, so he's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, really uncomfortable with that.
So the Hollywood Palladium, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, you're going to be playing the Pennywise self-titled album the first night, then Unknown Road the second night, and then About Time the third night. How did you choose those three albums? Rather than things from throughout your career.
They were our first three albums.
Well, I get that, Fletch. I get that. But I'm saying you didn't have to. I mean, even if you wanted to do the album thing.
The true story is this, that they actually wanted us to play what, Unknown Road, About Time, and Full Circle. Mm-hmm. Full Circle was our biggest selling record, but it is absolutely insanely difficult to play. We started practicing that a little bit and said, there's no way we're playing this. That's going to be like the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah. Why is it so hard to play? You guys played it. I mean, you recorded it. What's hard about it?
It's just pretty brutal, but it's we could pull it off. It all just takes a little practice, like riding a bike, you know. But once we got in there, we were pretty concerned about Unknown Road. We don't play a lot off the album Unknown Road, but once we got in there, it kind of came right back to us. So
I said it's like riding a bike with a flat tire. Yeah, or two.
Rusty chain. And,
it's a tough way to go.
Yeah. Tell me about, if you remember, the first time you ever played the Hollywood Palladium.
I do remember that. It was Unknown Road. It was Unknown Road. I think it was the Summer Nationals, right?
So that would have been what, around 1990 maybe?
No, it was probably like 94 or something.
Oh, that
like
late?
That.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Our first record came out in like 91 on Epitaph, I think. So then Unknown Road was a couple years after that.
Okay.
So it was around, it was all Epitaph bands, and yeah.
It was that a, is the Palladium a special venue in your mind at all?
Yeah. Cool. One of the coolest
places. A lot of great shows have gone on there. I got thrown out of there during a Bad Religion show one time. So
sweet. That was good work.
That's a nice memory.
And that's Jim.
I tried to get on stage with them, and the security decided they didn't want me on stage. And then they hogtied me and took me out. And I said, I'm Jim from Pennywise. And they're all, we know.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
They know who you are, and they just threw me right out the door in the rain. No less.
Like, you know Fletcher, you're out of here.
Is that the problem? Is guilt by association?
Yes, probably.
What's the ticket status? I don't have anything here about. Are they already sold out? Are they?
Saturday is sold out. Friday is. I think there's like almost nothing left. Like 50 tickets for Friday, and
okay,
and they actually all could be sold out by now. We don't know. We don't have over the weekend count, so there might be a couple left on Friday and Thursday. So
okay, all right. Double, so check it out. Check. The Hollywood Palladium for Pennywise. Three albums, three nights. That is going to be fun. Red Bull Sound Space today at noon. We got a lot more questions for the guys, and we'll talk to them more when we return right after this on K-Rock. Jim and Fletcher from the band Pennywise are in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see them for three nights this week at the Hollywood Palladium, performing three albums in a row. One on Thursday night, then another on Friday, another on Saturday. Tickets available through Ticketmaster.com. Just a few tickets left, as Fletcher said. It's so funny to hear you guys telling stories off the air here. And Jim, you're rolling your eyes a lot.
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to think that Fletcher needs to travel around in like one of those shark cages where he could be in a
for
bubble.
For his own safety?
For his own safety and for ours. Because yeah. Fletcher plus the general population seems to create problems.
Well, yeah. It equals Fletcher.
I just need a shot caller, and Jim needs the remote.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I never thought of that.
That is a fantastic idea.
I thought about it because I got tased five times once, and that worked.
You got tased five times?
Yep.
In a row?
Yep.
At the same
time? Yeah, well, back-to-backers, you know. They,
why?
I was mad at him.
Yeah, Jimmy got a hold of a taser.
How many times have you been tased in your life?
That was it.
That was five, it, just five in a row.
Yeah. There's a movie actually called Killing Them Safely. It's about the taser company because they've killed like 500 people in America over the last
oh my God.
Year. So they kill you. Now they can't shoot you in the heart. I got like right in the heart. And
why didn't you stop whatever you were doing after four?
Well, after the first one, I yelled out a profanity at the police officer and tried to rip the barbs out of my chest.
Okay, that's not
but
good.
But while
right.
I was in motion to get to him, he hit me again because you get like there's a little break. You know, there's like a 1 or 2 second break where they have to stop or you will die. So
they stop the electricity, but
it goes
not,
for like 5
stuck.
Seconds,
right.
And then it cuts off, and then and if you keep the trigger down, it goes for like another 5 or 3 or whatever it is. But trust me, it's an effective tool because I was running full speed at the officer.
Oh, what
with
a
my
scary!
Up,
he, what a scary thing!
And
that
he
must
let
have been.
Me have it, and it stopped me in my tracks, like a running
Fletcher,
piece of plexiglass.
Do you feel that you make a lot of poor decisions?
Yeah, a lot. There's a lot of. Early morning remorse.
Yeah.
Combined with the hangover.
But there's no learning. That's,
yeah.
That's the important fact.
Yeah. These
nothing changes.
None of them.
Yeah. Half the time you guys are calling me at like 7 a.m. going, what happened tonight?
What happened?
I don't remember yet. I haven't been informed. You guys are the first ones calling me to tell me how I messed up or.
I just know, like, at acoustic, you walk by and you go, it's on. And I just know, okay, we need to figure out what's happening here.
What does that mean? It's on.
And to run.
Jim, I wanted to ask you this question because you have always been a very political guy, a very socially conscious guy. Mm-hmm. What's Pennywise mad about now to write songs about?
Oh, there's a lot of fodder out there right now if you've been watching the news lately. But, yeah, Trump.
If Trump becomes president, we'll have a lot of ammunition.
Yeah.
And a lot more punk bands, right?
The new album's called Trump.
Sit down.
I mean, is that the type of thing that literally would inspire you to your frustration or your disgust or whatever emotions you're feeling as you're watching this process? Is that the type of thing that drives you to sit down and write a song?
Yeah, or move to Canada. Or,
yeah.
You know, but yeah.
They're not going to let Fletcher in Canada.
I got a minister's pardon. I haven't been convicted of a crime in 10 years, and I got a pardon now from the prime minister. So, yeah, but go back to the fall.
That was just said.
How do you go about that?
It's a long process.
Okay.
Lots of fingerprints.
Okay.
But, Jim, yeah, go back to the political question.
Okay, Jim.
That's a good one.
Political question.
This is boring. No one wants to talk about this.
Well, I'm just interested in
this. The fate of our country and the planet, you know? Yeah. Let's talk about elephants and Poo-Poo City.
Are you seeing, and I know you've got a lot of opening acts on, most of them are pretty well known that are going to be opening for you this week at the Palladium, but are you seeing a lot of new up-and-coming punk bands? Is that still a thing that kids do?
I think there's a really cool scene happening out of this label called Burger Records down in Costa Mesa. And we're always finding out about new bands on the road. And, you know, Fletcher works a lot of bands. I try and help out whatever bands.
Plague Vendor
is a good band.
That one?
Jim turned me on to those guys. They're one of my favorite bands right now.
So you're encouraged by the scene continuing? Because, I always wondered if there was going to come a time where it would just kind of fade out. But it seems like young people are always pissed off enough to want to play things loud and dirty.
Yeah. Us older people start screwing up the world, and there's a new punk band coming out.
Yeah. Mad at us.
Beyond the Palladium shows, what's next for Pennywise in 2016? As we mentioned, the big 28th anniversary year is a big one.
We got to write a record, which is going to be awesomely fun.
Yeah, we enjoy getting into a studio together for long periods of time.
I feel like none of you enjoy that.
Close quarters, it's awesome.
I feel like these shows may not happen this week. That's what I feel like. Come on, guys.
Be fun.
Let's be excited to be together. Let's be excited to create.
Maybe you should go in the studio and do one song. And then take a break. Maybe go on vacation.
Take one song as an opener.
One at a time.
Like a little breath mint and then see how we react to it.
Do songs in recent years just not come easy to you guys anymore? Is it harder and harder to make something that everybody likes?
I think we have a lot of songs. We just don't want to get in the room together.
And argue over how long a snare roll is. I mean, we argue down to, like, that snare roll should be half as long. Or this part should... It's just ridiculous what we argue.
Can you hire a producer who you all admire to make those difficult decisions to take the vote away from the band?
Shit. We had one good one, Joe Barisi, who threatened to beat us up if we didn't do what he said. I want to get him again because I think physical violence is the only way.
Yeah, he almost got his car smashed literally in the parking lot. I had my Bronco pointed at it, ready to just... take it out because Jim and Randy and Byron turned him against me early.
Uh-huh.
So then
they did. By the way, they did the right thing.
They loved it. Heavy allegations going on.
I'd be like, "Hey, can you turn up the toms a little bit right there and let me hear that?" And he'd be like, "Nope." But I'd be like, "What do you mean? You can't fire me." And then these guys would just smile.
It would be great. He would. As soon as Fletcher would try and give him advice on how to produce, he would just calmly get up and start unplugging his stuff and trying to leave.
And, like, calling the gear place to, like, get it shipped back to us.
Because it's the only way you can deal with someone like this. You just have to
You dealt with someone like this
he
for so long?
He hasn't
I quit the band a couple times, even if you're not aware.
I know. But then you got back.
It's just little breaks. You know? Just little...
Well,
it's like those kids that don't go to college right after high school. They just take a little break.
A little gap year, right.
Sure.
Every time I see you guys, I'm convinced it's the last time I'll ever see you guys. So it's always a thrill to have you in. And we're happy that this week is going to happen. And it's going to be great at the Hollywood Palladium.
We're actually really stoked. We joke around, but we got great fans. All of our friends are coming. I'm getting texts all day, every day. People want to get on the guest list, so please stop that.
It's going to be like 11,000 people.
And how many does it hold?
It holds like 3,700
or right. So. He meant over the course of the, three nights, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Kevin. That's all right. Cute.
I'm saying I didn't know.
Jim, when you get those texts, you text back Ticketmaster.com. That's your default text back.
Yeah. Here's the link.
Buy those tickets as cheap as $20 to see Southern California Legends Pennywise at the Hollywood Palladium Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. It is going to be a good time. We love you guys. It's like I say, I joke, but it's always great to see you guys.
We need to recommend our fans to get really drunk and sing really loud to help us cover up all the mistakes.
I feel like you don't need to recommend that to your fans.
Oh, that's right.
They got the memo.
Asked and answered. Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Monday morning, Ralph's got another look at the showbiz beat here on the show. What's going on?
Well, because it is Monday, we're going to look at the box office and see what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. Turns out a lot of people like seeing foxes and rabbits hang out together.
That's my John.
Zootopia was number one. $73.7 million made it number one. Not only that, it's the largest opening ever for a Disney animated movie. Kicked the crap out of Snow White. Boom, right in the teeth. Right? Who's with me? That slut.
Is that adjusted for inflation?
I don't know. Okay. She lives with seven midgets, Allie. Come on. She's loose. She's a loose woman.
You are
a
horrible man.
We don't know that she's doing it with them. She could just be using them to do her bidding.
She'd be grumpy if she was boning them. Right? It'd be two happies.
No, she likes it grumpy.
Yeah.
That's alleged.
London Has Fallen debuted $21.7 million. That made it number two.
Loved it.
I know you did. One of our listeners, upon hearing how much you loved it, sent me an email saying he's never heard the word fast as being as an adjective to describe a good quality in a movie before. I love the movie. It's so fast.
It just means quick pacing.
It just means short attention span. Well, maybe. Deadpool was third. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot over. Debuted at $7.6 million. Made it number four. Gods of Egypt was fifth. Then Risen, Kung Fu Panda 3, The Revenant, Eddie the Eagle, and The Witch. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. While we're talking movies, I could not be more excited by this news that broke this morning, thanks to Variety. A new drama about the bombing at the World Trade Center. It's about five individuals trapped in an elevator, desperate to get out. That's right, it's an action drama called 9/11, starring Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen. Yes!
All right, those are your comedy answers, yes, but who's really in it?
That who is in it. That is who is in it.
Right.
Boom.
And boom.
Mini-Me and Debbie Gibson and Flava Flav. Come on, why don't you just make the joke happen?
I'd watch that.
Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg finally together on the big screen where we've all been waiting for them.
Nope.
It's going to be awesome.
This movie's not going to get made.
Stop saying that.
I'm saying it.
I think I'm coming on to Bean's side now. It's just not going to get made.
It's not going to get made.
It's a terrible idea in every way.
And if it is made, it will not be released.
And if it's released,
it will not be seen.
And if it is seen, it will not be remembered. And if it is remembered, it will not be remembered fondly. And if remembered fondly, it shan't be passed on to future generations.
Look, I know that we spend a lot of time on this show making fun of decisions that are made in Hollywood. This one is an onion quality prank, though. There's no way that there are people who have jobs in the movie business who said yes and signed off on giving the money to make a 9/11 movie with Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen. That just can't happen.
It's in the goddamn news.
So you believe it? Oh, you believe everything that's in the news. Oh, the water's safe, too, right?
What?
What?
Or whatever. Yep. I'm just saying, as an example.
Are you currently living in Flint?
What I'm saying is, just because somebody told somebody something and they put it on a website doesn't make it true.
Luis Guzman, Wood Harris, and Olga Fonda have also been cast. 9/11 will be shot entirely at Thunder Studios in Long Beach, California. Production starts this month. I don't know what more you want from me than that news.
I want you to admit that it's not going to get made.
And if it is made, it's not going to be released.
It's not going to be released.
And if it is released, it won't be watched.
I hate you all.
Come on, Ralph. That's the worst idea anyone has ever had.
Or the greatest idea anyone has ever had.
No!
What's good about it?
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
You're making it. All right. Is it meant to be
samurai cop quality? It is. Of awesome.
But you think it's a drama that they're going to play straight? You think Charlie Sheen?
No.
You're now going
to be one of those funny dramas they talk about in Hollywood.
No, I'm 9/11.
What I mean is, it's not a comedy. You're saying it's going to intentionally be a drama, and we're supposed to believe Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen in a serious role being stuck in an elevator on 9/11.
I've never met anyone who had such a hard time grasping a fairly straightforward news story.
I don't believe it.
Well, it's not up to you to believe or not believe.
I'm a fiend.
You are insane.
Not buying it. He's right. That's ridiculous, and no one would ever make that decision. Somebody was led astray here, Ralph.
This is fake. This is fake. This is one of Kevin's just knee-jerk fake moments.
No, I'm
with Kevin, because this is fake.
Side with me. Oh,
unicycle has one wheel. It's fake. No one knows you need two more wheels.
Check it.
Fake.
Somebody was led astray.
Pumpsy's fake.
Check it.
Please keep us posted on this.
No. F you. You don't deserve it. It's not real. Why should I keep you posted, Bean?
Because
it's not a real story, so why should I keep you posted?
Because that's the update I want from you. Because tomorrow I want you to come in and go, hey, guys, remember yesterday when I told you about the 9/11 thing? Turned out that somebody got their facts wrong and it's not happening.
You will get nothing more of this. I will not waste this wonderfulness and beauty on you any longer. I'm going to share it only with people who will appreciate it like I do.
Losers winning.
That's
Bye-bye.
Right. That's right, Charlie. You tell them. They are losers, and you and I are winning. Bye-bye.
Duh.
Quick shout-out to my buddy Jimmy Kimmel. Just announced this morning he will be hosting the 2016 Emmy Awards on September the 18th.
I'm done. It's on. Bring it.
It's going to be awesome. So congratulations, Jim, returning to host the Emmys yet again.
Remind me who that is again.
He is a gentleman who has a late-night talk show on ABC.
He was a pussy.
What?
He was also the voice of reason here on the Kevin and Bean Show for many years.
No way.
Then he roped me into it. I don't know how that happened, but somehow he roped. He jettisoned. He got over the wall, made a successful career in television, and I left here going, Jim, where'd you go? Hey, Jim, where'd you go? Gone. Just gone. Black Hawk down.
What?
Man
wasn't
left behind.
Wasn't he supposed to take you with him?
No, that was never the deal.
Okay.
I was just here to patch the hole left by his absence. Yeah, we'll try it for a couple months, then we'll get a real radio guy in here, Kevin and Bean said to me many years ago. Where is he? We're still waiting. Where's that radio guy you guys said you were getting?
Damn
indeed, Charlie. You and me, 9/11. I want to be in the elevator with Charlie and Whoopi.
Oops.
You're listening, casting people.
Might
come
as well
on
at that
bring
point.
It on. Let me be the wacky elevator repairman.
Who happens to be in when it
No, I'll be like on top looking through the through the hole in the ceiling. You know, they always have one of those images. Yeah. Like, hey, you guys okay down there? Hey, you guys have enough water? Cause, you don't want to get dehydrated. I'm working on getting you guys out. You just hang tight.
Now I want the movie to be made.
Yes. A new character, elevator repairman guy.
My success rate is 100%.
Yes.
Do the math.
Dude, I did the math, Charlie. I'm on your side. Don't come at me, come at them. Today's celebrity birthdays. Brian, didn't you guys have a run with Whoopi, too? Wasn't that another...
Didn't
you run afoul of Whoopi Goldberg at some point as well?
It was just... Yeah, it was a simple hit-the-wrong-button mistake that ended up resulting in her phone number being on the air. It was our fault, but it was a legitimate... No, I'm just saying, we didn't do it on purpose, though. It was an honest, sincere error that we paid handsomely for.
Oops. You guys have a long just trail of wreckage you've left behind you, haven't you?
We have failed often.
Yes, we do.
Early and often. That's what we've done.
Today's celebrity birthdays, we're running too late. Look it up. If it's that important to you, there's a thing called the internet. Use it. I'm over here with Charlie and Whoopi in the elevator. I don't need you anymore. I'm Ralph Garner. Walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What's up?
I want to talk about the fights. UFC 196 this Saturday night was a great night. And I just found this that I thought was fascinating. When you heard this question being asked during the broadcast, during the Holly Holm-Misha Tate fight.
What is going through the mind
of Ronda Rousey right now?
Well, now we have an answer of what was going through the mind of Ronda Rousey during the fight on Saturday night. She was in the crowd at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's All-Star Weekend 12. She was not home and watching the fight. That's not to say she didn't record it for later viewing, but she was hanging out with crowds and apparently having the time of her life at a wrestling event on Saturday night. Apparently, she is a huge wrestling fan, and there was some talk, by the way, that she was going to make an appearance at WrestleMania, but Dana White shut that down, so that is not going to be happening. But isn't that interesting that that's where she was on a night like that?
I heard Dana say that he had texted her and she wasn't watching, and I sort of was like, really? Because it seems like she would be watching
it
that.
It seems like that would be relevant to her interests, right? All right. Well, it was, I mean, I don't know who you expected to win, but it was Misha Tate who has had a shot at the title. In the, hey,
down!
Guys!
Linus!
Hey,
Linus, down!
Misha Tate, who had had a shot at the title before and had lost, going up against Holly Holm, the current champion. She's the one who beat Ronda Rousey a few months ago. So the fight was, it was a great fight. Here's how it ended.
Misha's got it. Misha looking to lock it in. Misha looking to choke her out. Whoa. She's got it back. Still has it. She's Misha got it. Tate.
She's tapping. She's tapping.
Hit it. It's all over. Misha, Misha Tate. It's the new UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion. My God. She put her to sleep.
She really did put her to sleep. I mean, literally, her head hit the canvas. Now, Dave, you said something off air, and the reason I wanted to bring you in for this talk is you are not impressed by fighters who don't tap out. Most people look at that as, hey, heart of a champion, right? You're fighting to the very last second until you can fight no longer. You think more fighters should give up?
Not give up, but listen, if you know you're going to lose, and that moment she was going to lose because she was going out, please tap.
But I don't know that she... I think you have to make up your mind ahead of time before, right? She probably said, I'm not going to tap no matter what in her mind mentally.
Yes, okay.
So you're not thinking, hey, I'm going to sleep. Maybe I should tap. I don't think that's happening.
Listen, I've never been put to sleep by
well, it needs to happen.
Choke. Yeah, we need to get that
no.
needs to happen.
But this has stuck with me. I remember when we did MMA Bear Mug, and he got knocked out, and we had him do it again. Mm-hmm. And then we told Joe Rogan, thinking, oh, that was so funny. And Joe Rogan said, that's the most dumbest thing you guys could do.
Right, but
because it's, you should never be knocked out like that.
Right.
Yeah, you don't
right,
do that to your brain.
But let me finish. That's not, that wasn't being knocked out.
Okay.
That's very different than
a
strike to the head is just cutting off.
Okay, yes, but
it's
no.
just cutting off oxygen to your brain.
It is, just for a second.
You're knocked out.
Yeah, for a second, but not from a direct hit. That's very different.
But still.
Okay, but still.
These people should not go to sleep. It's bad. When your brain goes to sleep, that's bad. That's not good for you.
All right, let me ask you, anyone in the room, because I have no knowledge on this topic at all. What are the negative side effects of you passing out because of not enough oxygen to the brain, even if it's just for a few seconds? Is there some damage that lingers from that?
Well, that could cause brain damage if you cut oxygen in your brain.
Even for a second or two? Because Holly was literally up and on her feet within 20 seconds of being
it
on the
It looked
ground.
A lot longer, and it was scary the way her arms were shaking. And, you know, I don't know if she was trying to punch to get out or it was just the reaction of her body going to sleep. But it looked
Yeah, she
gross.
Was, like, punching
yeah,
air.
Yeah, it looked
it
scary.
Scary.
And the ref jumped in just too late. She
what about Kevin's point, which is she wasn't in the mental capacity of being able to make that kind of a decision to tap out because she was losing oxygen to her brain?
Well, if that's the case, okay. But, you know, even in the talk, you know, Misha Tate in her interview said, I give her no credit. I mean, I give her all the credit for not tapping out and going out like a champion. No, tap out. Save yourself for the next fight.
Yeah, so you're not a fighter.
Know,
yeah, that's right.
That's true. I am not a fighter.
Dave's advice to UFC fighters is tap out early and often.
No. Okay, look, Conor McGregor tapped out. You know why? Because he knew he was he was done.
Hold on.
He was caught and he was done.
Maybe,
he knew it.
But he also knew that it wasn't a title fight. That's very, very different.
No, listen.
Dave, it's very
that.
Different.
Listen.
Because there's no reason to risk anything if you're Conor McGregor and you get beat, which, by the way, we're going to play the highlight of in just a second. He got choked out as well, and he tapped immediately because
listen,
he didn't care.
Yes, Conor McGregor cared about losing a fight.
Yes.
He does. He does care about losing
course.
A fight. To say that a fighter doesn't care about losing a fight is...
No, but
is,
I'm saying it's
title
different.
Fight versus this. It,
yeah,
it didn't
but
mean anything.
He, someone like Conor McGregor doesn't want to lose a fight at all.
Agreed.
So that's why he tapped, because he knew he was done. He knew there was no option. He was out. He got beat. It's okay. He'll fight. He'll live to fight another day. When these fighters don't tap, it it's so scary that anything could happen. You know?
I think,
yes.
You know, I'm not sure what you want to happen.
It scares me. I want the people to tap. Please tap.
I think
it's
that,
easy. Say uncle.
I think that you're asking for two different. I think you're asking for two different qualities to exist within the same person. One of which is I am a champion and a fighter, and I will do everything within my power as a human to win this fight. But you also want them to go, but I'm also going to quit. You know what I mean? And I think it's one or the other for a lot
of
these fighters.
In that second round, when Misha had the rear naked choke, she didn't have it on enough. She didn't have it right.
Right.
So when she was fighting, Holly kept fighting back and kept, you know, not giving up, which is what she's supposed to do.
Right. Very impressive.
Yeah. And she fought it off, fought. Even when she locked it for a little bit, she still fought it off. So she knew she had strength in her to fight it off and did it. In the fifth round, when she was gassed, she had no more energy. It was locked in. She was going to sleep. She should have tapped.
All right, so says Dave. All right, let's talk about.
I love that Dave is telling these world.
Listen, no, I'm just saying.
Let me tell you
for your safety, please tap people.
Let's move on to the next fight. The headline fight of the night was, as Kevin mentioned, not a title fight, but it was Conor McGregor, who had not lost a fight in over 5 years. He went up two weight classes to fight against Nate Diaz. Now, this was a fight that Nate Diaz had less than 2 weeks to prepare for. And he even said in his post-fight interview that he would have even fought a better fight if he had had more of a training camp. But he always keeps himself in good shape. And he, you know, obviously did what he needed to do to beat Conor. But here's how Joe called the end of that fight. Ever been to one of those UFC championship fight nights in person?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them, two or three of them. Yeah,
that
it's
crowd,
super excited. Yeah,
I mean that crowd crazy. Is. It sounds like a million people. They're so excited
because you don't think either of those things are going to happen. Both of those fights were complete surprises to most people.
We did have a listener, by the way, who sent us his ticket from Las Vegas. He bet on both of those that won, and I think he put down $10 and won like 173 or something like that. Pretty impressive. All right, here's what Conor had to say after the fight.
I took the chance going at 170, but Nate came in. He was, I felt I took him the first round, but I was inefficient with my energy. But I'm humble in victory or defeat.
That's what we know about Conor McGregor. He is just a little wallflower, man.
Have you met you?
You can't get Conor to say a nice thing about Conor. That's the one thing I
know
about
him. Yeah.
And finally, the greatest speech after a fight, maybe in the history of MMA, and that was Nate Diaz, as Joe approached him to talk about what he had just accomplished there in the octagon.
Nate Diaz, you just shook up the world. How's that feel?
I'm not surprised, mother.
Hey, just in the interest of public safety, let's talk to Mark real quick. He's on line two. He is a paramedic, and he wants to weigh in on the conversation that all of us amateurs are having about passing out due to lack of oxygen to the brain. I'm glad you were listening. I'm glad you called, Mark. What can you tell us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I just wanted to say, how you doing, guys?
Good.
When someone gets choked out or they lose oxygen to the brain, your brain cells, as well as every cell in your body, needs oxygen. That's what the blood supply is for. It supplies nutrients as well as oxygen. So when you cut that supply, cells will die, including brain cells. I go on many seizures and people, you know, who lose consciousness. And when we saw that person, Holmes, shaking her arms, that might have been a form of posturing, which happens when someone gets knocked out. And
what's the likelihood of any kind of serious or permanent damage, though, if you literally lose consciousness for 5 seconds?
Unknown. Any chance is possible, and anything is possible. Though with those seconds, how many cells actually die? We don't know that. But due to lack of oxygen, and how many times it happens progressively. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali. I mean, by the time he passed away, he was almost brain dead.
He's still alive, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's still alive.
Is he really?
Yeah, okay. he's got the Parkinson's too, which may or may not have been affected by his boxing. But I take your point.
Yeah,
all right,
so
you're saying if you're ever in that situation, tap out. That's your advice.
Absolutely, you can. I've got a buddy who's in MMA, and it's funny because he's been choked out so many times where he passes out because of his pride. He won't tap out. That now, when somebody puts his arm around in that chokehold, It's a body defense mechanism that he passes out even faster. Like, just as soon as they put him in that lock, with just a simple pressure, he goes down automatically. The body is trying to protect itself, and when it goes limp, it's like, I give.
I think your buddy needs a new hobby.
I think you need a new buddy.
He's 44 and he's still trying to do it with broken elbows. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? That's about
all right, Mark.
At this point.
Appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44.
Very sad to hear about Muhammad Ali.
I know.
He's a great dude.
Still alive.
One of the great athletes.
Really? I heard
one of the most famous people in the world.
Yeah.
Guy was just saying
that caller said
he's...
Time for a final look at the showbiz feed with Ralph Garman. What's going on?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah?
I would like to give you an update, an update.
Oh, is this on the Charlie Sheen Whoopi Goldberg movie?
To the Charlie Sheen Whoopi Goldberg 9/11 drama.
That's not being made.
As I mentioned all morning long, with great glee, there has a film in the works. It is a drama based around the events of the World Trade Center attack, starring five people who are trapped in an elevator in one of the buildings trying to get out. And it's a drama starring Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
Titled 9/11. A drama. 9/11 drama.
Mm-hmm.
With Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen.
Right, and that's not
real.
No,
being called BS.
I'm calling it saying it's not happening. That movie's not being made.
It has not been
made.
It
will never be made.
And he insisted on me giving him an update.
Yes. When it was revealed that this was a wacky article from The Onion or something like that, I want you to come in here and I want you to apologize to the listeners for leading them astray with bad information.
So let me give you the update. The movie begins shooting Monday.
And by begin shooting Monday, you mean it's not going to be shot.
Will be filmed with film will roll. Cameras will roll, as they say. Monday is the beginning of the shoot.
And that's when Ashton Kutcher jumps out from the elevator and says, "Punked, we're back on MTV new season."
The independent action drama 9/11 begins shooting starting Monday. Variety has learned exclusively, they say.
Bring it.
Monday.
All right. Again,
this Monday?
Or today?
No, just some Monday in the future.
See, are they specific? Because I don't know.
Starting Monday.
I mean, what
Not
Monday?
Today. In a week from today.
Next
if
Monday?
You were going to... Look, this
Cinema's
would be a tough...
greatest achievement begins.
This would be a tough movie to make, no matter who you cast. But if you were going to make a sensitive movie about 9/11 and people trapped on that terrible day in an elevator, in a billion years... would you ever cast Charlie Sheen?
These two are the only people I would cast.
No way.
Is Cato Kaelin available? Is he still acting? I'd like to add him to the cast.
And everyone else from Sharktopus.
I'd like to get Gutenberg on the phone, add him, put him inside. I'm putting everybody in the elevator. Because
Ralph, why are you fine with this?
I'm beyond fine with this. I'm overjoyed.
But
I'm over the moon.
Didn't you used to care about the industry and our country?
I do, and I do.
Apparently not.
I'm with both of you. I'm with Bean. It doesn't sound possible. And I'm with Ralph. I hope it happens because it's going to be amazing.
Right?
Right.
Right. So you're not really with Bean at all.
I'm saying, I doubt it, but if it does, it's going to be great.
I just told you shooting starts on Monday.
I'm saying.
What are you basing your saying on?
I'm just saying.
But you don't have
common sense, Ralph. I have common sense. I have a lot of that.
Let me tell you something. Boy, you're drawing on a weak hand there, son.
It's science.
You might want to just toss your cards in because that is not your day.
What studio is making the movie,
it
Ralph?
It is an independent production, Bean. I told you that already several times.
Okay. We need a man on the inside. We need somebody associated with this movie who can give us updates throughout the process.
It is a co-production with Thunder Studios. That's where it's going to be shot. Thunder Studios in Long Beach, California. And several other productions.
Dave, get us somebody on the phone from Thunder Studios, please, in Long Beach, California. We have a lot of questions about how this came to pass.
Maybe we can talk to Thunder Studios CEO Roderick David or
Mr.
Ryan
David,
Johnson.
We'd love it.
Sheen's manager, Mark Berg, will serve as an executive producer. So, obviously, there's some money being put up there by the Charlie Sheen coffers. Look, all you need to know is it's going to be awesome. That's all you need to know.
Why is Whoopi Goldberg doing this?
Because she's an Oscar
Right.
Nominee.
And wouldn't
winner.
You
winner.
Get
winner.
Away
winner.
From the women on The View?
Right.
Right.
It all makes sense now. It all falls into part. Oh. Into place. And
this
boom,
just,
too, by the way.
This is just shocking.
Boom.
Boom. Winning.
We got to talk to somebody on tomorrow's show. You guys are with me, right?
Yep.
About this movie.
About who? When the auditions are? That's what I need to know. Because I still want to play. I still want to play Bucky.
Oh, you named him
Bucky
the elevator repairman.
Elevator repairman.
I didn't realize he had a name.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, he's Bucky. How are you guys holding up in there? We're trying to get some bottled water to you because we're concerned about dehydration, perhaps.
So no
is
one
he speaking through a hole in the top of the elevator.
Yeah.
In the
hatch.
Okay.
He has lowered himself down on the cable. And he's going, hey, don't you worry. We have people going to respond pretty soon here. And we're going to lower this elevator down to the ground floor. Or we're going to get you out through the top. But one way or the other, you're getting home.
Did Bucky love Caddyshack? Is that kind of his thing?
I can't wait.
You don't know, Allie. You don't know art.
Look, if Bucky's in the movie, I want to see it.
You will see it regardless, my friend.
No, I won't, because it's not going to get made.
I am going to be on the red carpet hosting. There are going to be parties.
It's really carved out a whole life.
I'm setting up my whole
sequels?
Life to be around 9/11.
Sequels? 9/12 is going to be so boring.
Oh, 9/12. Great. This time it's personal. This is so funny because we've got an ongoing segment on the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith. We've got an ongoing segment of movies starring Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
That you cast Adolf Hitler inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one we ever got was a movie called 9/11. And so this is very close to that parody.
Is he in the elevator or
since
no?
Then we've had 9.5 weeks, whole 9 yards, do the right thing, the Fast and the Furious.
Come on.
I want to see all of those.
I thought those movies were just a pipe dream until I saw this was being made, and now an entire door has been opened.
Boom.
Boom. Is God, right.
This is happening. How can that not make you happy? I'm with you, Bean. It sounds like the worst idea ever.
The
but
worst
I'm
idea
and then
ever.
If it gets made, it's going to be the worst idea ever.
Exactly. It's like someone telling you that.
Damn!
Linus!
You should
damn
do
it!
Linus, I will put my finger in your butt!
Wait, what? Why was that your first thought? Is that how you quiet a dog?
That's how you stop a dog from fighting.
Poor.
That's science.
Poor Reggie.
That is science.
So I feel bad for Reggie as well. I wonder why Reggie is always limping whenever I see
him. Reggie only fought once. I'll tell you that much. Cured him of that problem right away.
Now he's with Muhammad Ali. Who's with me?
No one is with
me. Oh, hi.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Burn up all my time talking about 9/11. But Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel's going to host the 2016 Emmy Awards. I do want to give that a mention again because that's the best news.
That's great news.
I've heard in a long time.
That is what champions are made of.
That is what champions are made of. That and Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg movies.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Oh, it's going to be the best. See if you can pry those doors open. Can you find something to use? You have a nail file or something? Try your belt buckle. Take your belt buckle off.
Come on, Bucky.
Bucky's there to help.
I already
feel like
pictured the Bucky spin off
them.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bryan Cranston.
He's also going to be in that movie.
60 years old. No.
Oh.
Kidding me? Don't ruin my movie by putting anyone good in it.
Good people in it?
That's right. Wanda Sykes is 52. She can be in the elevator.
All right.
Peter Sarsgaard, no elevator for him. Lar Prepon, maybe. No elevator for her. Rachel Weisz, certainly no elevator for her. And Jenna Fisher also celebrates a birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, that was good stuff right there.
The greatest story I've ever had the pleasure to bring to you.
Hey, let me put in a quick plug before you talk about tomorrow's Kevin and Bean
God,
show.
God, all right.
And that is, you want to go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, if you'd like to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016. We are now open for submission. We did this last year, remember, the very funny Eddie Pence one, and was terrific.
Yes.
So no matter what level of stand-up success you have incurred so far, we want this to be open to anybody. Anybody who who's not on the bill can apply to be on the bill. That's what we're saying. 18 or over, go to KROQ.com and upload your two-minute video of your comedy act. We'll announce the top 10 finalists on March 28th.
You know, I've got a pretty funny talk about being an elevator repairman. Maybe I should enter into the contest.
Bucky, I would like you to submit a tape. We'd love to watch.
You wouldn't believe something that got found inside an elevator.
We did talk to
human feces.
We did talk to a listener earlier this morning who put up a 5-minute video of her singing karaoke.
She's in.
I feel like I'm not sure
she's in the top 10. I'll tell you that much. Concept. I hope she sings the theme song to 9/11.
Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Ming-Na Wen in the studio. We love her so much.
Best.
The Shield comes back finally.
Grant Ward is a walking dead man.
That's correct.
He's possessed with an alien.
Chad Smith and Will Ferrell on the program tomorrow.
Same guy.
Same person.
Adam Ray, comedian, on the program tomorrow.
Adam Ray!
And The Bachelor Report.
It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah. It's raining, Ben. Amen.
All tomorrow morning.